ജയംഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിപ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം. നിത്യലീല പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിപ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശീല ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാ കൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻധാം കി മായപ്പൂർധാം കി മധുരപുരിധാം കി ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരിധാം കി ദ്വാരകാപുരിധാം കി ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗോ പ്രേമനന്ദേ. ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീ ഗുരു ആൻഡ് ശ്രീ ഗൗരംഗ, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ. നമാംശുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഗോവേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണേ. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ, ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ, ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ, ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിനാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണി ഭഗവതി അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനി അംബ ത്വാമനുസന്ദധാമി ഭഗവദ്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണി നമോസ്തു ദേവ്യാഹ വിശാലബുദ്ധേ പുല്ലാരവിന്ദായത വക്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ പ്രപന്ന പാരിജാതായ സ്തോത്രവേത്രൈകപാണയെ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമ. സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സ സുധീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേവ സുതം ദേവം കംസച്ചാനൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാ ജയദ്രഥ ജലാ ഗാന്ധാര നീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ വഹനി കർണേന വേലാ കുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാവിതർണഘോരമകരാ ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോത്തീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവ പാരാശര്യവജ സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനക കേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാഭൂതിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജന ശൽപദൈരഹരഹ പ്രേദീയമാനം മുദ ഭൂയാത് ഭാരത മംഗള കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാ തമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദ മാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാ വരുണേന്ദ്ര രുദ്രമരുതസ്ത്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈ സ്തവൈർവേദൈ സാംഗപദൈ ക്രമോപനിഷദേ ഗായന്തി യം സാമഗാഃ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തി യം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാം തന്ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമ. സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. This 15th chapter is a very important chapter in the Bhagavad Gita. Why? Acharya Swamiji says, this is the chapter actually representing Vedam in the Bhagavad Gita. So close to Vedam, he says. And you can see that when Krishna began this chapter, Yastum Vedasa Vedavid, Urdhvamoolam Atashaga Ashwattham Prahuravyayam Chandamsi Yasya Varnani Yastum Vedasa Vedavid. Vedavid knows this chapter is Vedam. Vedavid is one who knows Vedam. He understands this chapter is Vedam. That is why this is one important thing. Secondly, Vedam talks about this tree as a samsaram, isn't it? Material existence. Samsara vaksha, it is called. Why is it spoken? Because to create vairagyam in us. Because without vairagyam, spiritual life is not going to make. You can do anything you like, but at the end, if the vairagyam is not there, the spiritual knowledge won't go inside. This is the difficulty. You can see that. Best example, Parikshit himself, isn't it? You see, Parikshit went to hunting in the forest. When he went to hunt there, he felt thirsty and hunger and thirst. And he couldn't control himself. He was so difficult for him to accept that hunger and thirst. So he went to the ashram there, Shamila Rishi's ashram, and he asked for some water to drink because he was so thirsty and hungry. And then Shamila Rishi happened to be in Samadhi. He didn't listen. He got angry because of his thirst and hunger. He took the dead snake, put it on his throat, and went back to the palace. And then what happened? Sringi came there, his son, saw this dead snake on the throat of the husband, of his father, and he said, whoever has done that, he will die within 7 days. He cursed him. He cursed. Sringi didn't know who it has done that. Sringi just said like that, whoever has done that will die within 7 days' time. Later on, Shamila Rishi woke up and he found out that Parikshit had come and who had done this. He knew all these things. From his Samadhi level, he understood all these things. And then he sent apologies to the king, sent his son there, no, sent two brahmacharis from the ashram to go and speak to Parikshit that this has happened. Sringi has cursed you that within 7 days' time you will die. You see what happened to Parikshit at that time? Parikshit immediately decided to walk out from palace. Yeah. One, and he decided to come to Ganga River and sat there. And he was not bothered about drinking water, eating food. For 7 days he sat there because he knew that he had got 7 days' time left. That 7 days he wanted to use to the best of his capacity. And then Krishna sent Shukha Brahmarshi there. So look at this way. Parikshit could not tolerate hunger and thirst while hunting. But as soon as he got the message that he has to die within 7 days, he was not bothered about hunger and thirst. That's called vairagyam. This is how vairagyam comes in life. Something what you think you cannot do it now, circumstances force you to accept the reality. When a higher understanding comes, hunger and thirst and all is not important anymore. He could not tolerate thirst in the forest when he was hunting. And the same Parikshit now, after coming back to the palace, he is saying he is not bothered about hunger and thirst. This is called vairagyam. Vairagyam is like that. And in order to create that vairagyam in us, Krishna has spoken this chapter. Samsara, to make us aware the nature of this material existence, right? So, adaschordam prasradastasya shaga, guna pravardha vishaya pravala, adaschordam mula, adaschamulani anisandadani, karmani belhini manishya loge. The fourth, second verse. Krishna spoke about that, the tree, which is basically, the top of that is the three modes of nature, which is covering everything. And all sense objects and sense enjoyment are the sprouts from that tree. And it is going up and down everywhere. And its karmam is responsible for this. And due to karmam, its roots gets much more stronger. It gets more deep-rooted. This tree grows stronger because of the karma. That's the connection between karmam and the roots of the tree. So, that's a whole explanation to that verse we saw. Then he said, Narubam asyeha tatobe labhyade nando na chadir naja sampradishta ashwathamenam suviruta moolam asanga shastrena dhidhena chitwa. The third verse. That's what we were talking about, isn't it? So, this tree, he says that we look at that tree, it's an imaginary tree, but its rubam, you cannot find out where it has started, and you don't know when it is going to end, right? Its roots are upwards, trees downwards, they said, right? And Krishna said there, asanga shastrena dridena chitva. That means with the strength of vairagyam, you have to cut that tree, with the strength of vairagyam, right? So, we were discussing that last Sunday, that the vairagyam can come due to two ways. One, conscious action, and secondly, unconscious natural activity. For example, the ahangaram is doing the karma. Ahangaram wants karma. Ahangaram has to do karma, right? So, both conscious activity and the unconscious natural activity, both are natural in the sense that when we realize that we are Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Subhav, that means eternal, pure, fully conscious, and always liberated. That is our actual nature, is that, isn't it? Antaryami's nature is eternal, pure, untouched by anything, fully conscious, and always liberated. Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Subhav. And we are that, Brahma. And we are that Purna Vastu, complete in itself, right? And all other things, what happening with the body, mind, senses, intelligence, and all other activities, has nothing to do with us, strictly speaking. It is nothing to do with us, right? Knowing this and realizing that behind all these things, that means body, mind, intelligence, senses, all these things are working because of its presence, Antaryami's presence. And that shandi, so that's shandi, what is inside us, right? Able to stay in that state of that shandi, state of the Antaryami, and purely knowing that ahamasmi, sohamasmi, I am that state, and able to execute all the karma, and even your sodharmam, whatever one is supposed to happen here due to prarabdham, all of that, we will know that it will all happen according to the time and the situations, and that will get through us without causing any problem for us. All the karma will come through us, and it will be done, but it will not create any impact in us. Karma creates problem, isn't it? Karma creates karma vasana. Karma vasana creates more inclination to do karma, propensity to do more karma. This way, karma is a problem, right? So what Krishna is saying here is that, you see that he has used that word, asanga shastrena. That means this technique of doing karma in such a way that it does not create any scratch on your surupam. It does not create any problem for you in the future. That technique is called asanga shastrena. Asanga shastrena dridena chitva, right? In other words, asanga shastrena means without sangam, without attachment, able to stay in one's spiritual identity and able to execute the life in this world. That technology, able to remain in one's spiritual identity and able to carry out the karma in this world, which does not cause any scratch on our in us. In other words, that it does not cause any another cause for another birth. Asanga shastrena tridena chitva. Narubam asya, Krishna saying that you have to learn the art of cutting that tree without allowing the karma to grow. If you keep on doing the karma will keep on growing. And if the karma keeps on growing, even if you do any sadhana, it will still bring you back again with another body. So, So that technique is saying, able to, without any sangam, able to stay in one's own swarupam, and that means asangam, and able to live in this world. So in other words, able to give up this world. So basically that is what is called a sannyasam. Sannyasam means that. Sannyasam means asangatvam. Asangatvam. And that is what is called jnanam is sannyasam. Krishna says, Naishkarma siddhim paramam sanye senadi gachari, in the 18th chapter. He says that. So through knowledge you can cut through this tree. And how do you cut that tree? Because if you give up the attachment here, that tree will dry up. It doesn't get any more. Because what we are doing now is, we are doing karma more, and the result of that is the tree is getting more and more nourished. Once you stop supplying karma for the tree, the nourishment will stop, the tree will dry up. That's the way it is, right? So, and that has to be done through knowledge. And how do you cut the tree? Because if you don't look after the tree, it will go, disappear, right? You should not turn back and look at the tree anymore. All the time looking at the Antaryami inside, which is our real identity, soul, Antaryami. Keep our focus on that rather than on the tree outside. Now we are busy with the tree. Whether we like it or not, that's what we are doing. All of us. We are busy with this tree. Krishna is saying, attention has to go away from the tree towards the Antaryami inside. So keep looking at the Atma, Antaryami inside, and remaining in this world. So that is called Swarupa Nishtha. Swarupa Nishtha means able to be established in the self. And this is all what the famous Mahavakyams in the Upanishads talks about. I know it is difficult because as we know very well that the Krishna's language and what Krishna is asking us to do is something which the world has never taught us before. And therefore, we always have this difficulty in understanding when Krishna is saying something, it looks very foreign to us, isn't it? So, but the fact is, rishis have spoken this, and their words, this is all their words. So, one in whom, whose prajna, bodham, awareness inside, who gets this, who is able to do it, what Krishna is saying here, one who can go in that direction, he is very fortunate, right? Because even if it is not clear, everything, I know it is a very tall order, suddenly to tell someone, you should turn your attention towards the Antaryami, rather than from the world, it is impossible for everyone to do it straight away. But the thing is that, if you keep on hearing this, what will happen is, even if you are not able to do it on your own, it is like this, that, you know, when they blast the rock, how they do that? The rock is there, you know, from the quarry. They go there and blast the rock, and they bring big boulder stones for construction work, right? Quarries, they do that, yeah? What they do is there, that they know it is very hard to break the rock. We are like that now. It's just like very hard thing to change our nature, right? So what they do, they will keep on hammering the rock, first to drill. Nowadays they use these jackhammers and all that to before they blast. In the olden days, they didn't have that jackhammers, what do you do now? It's a pneumatic tool which they operate in the air. So what they used to do before was, physically they will break the rock a little bit deeper so that they can put the explosives inside. Explosives are available then. Even now they use explosives. But explosives, they were pumped inside, pushed inside after drilling a big hole inside the rock. And then they blast them. At that time, a big rock comes out, pieces into pieces, right? So, initially when they start breaking the rock, day one, it's a very hard job because hardly they will be able to go 6 inches or maximum a foot down. When they keep banging whole day with the very heavy hammers, they will break and break and break, hit and hit and hit to get the deeper inside, right? Similarly, our situation is like that now. We are in that state, right? We are not able to fully do what to do with it. Krishna is saying like this, and we are helpless. We are not able to connect with it, what Krishna is saying. Krishna is talking about this beautiful tree, samsaram, and he says, asanga shastrena dhrvena chitva, you have to kill that tree. And we know the size of this tree is so big, what we have created within ourselves, right? But, like they hit the rock and keep hitting it again and again and again, ultimately the rock will break. Similarly, so many times you have been hammering it, and every time you hammer, it has its effect. And one day finally it cracks, the rock cracks, right? But each time you hit, the power is the same. Each hitting, power is the same, right? But it appears as though the last hitting has broken the rock, even though you had been hitting it for a long period of time. Similarly, Shravanam of this chapter is like that, right? If this knowledge, what Krishna is saying, once it has gone into the ear, it will start working in its own way. It will start making more sense to us. Sometimes these thoughts will come in the mind, what Krishna is saying there, right? And the fact is that you will sitting and listening to it means that something is happening inside, right? And that is the proof of that. Otherwise you won't be sitting here to listen to this, to what Krishna is saying, right? But you know that, as Krishna said that, yastum vedasa vedavit, one who understands this, understand Veda. From that statement itself, it can see that urdhvamoolam athashakha ashvattham prahuravyayam chandamsi yasya parnani yastum vedasa vedavit, he said. So then he said, adaschordam prasradastasya shaha gunaschordam gunapravardha vishayam pravada adaschamulani anusandhavani karmanu bandhini manushyaloke. And then he said, narubamaseha tatopalabhyade nando na chadar na cha sampradishta ashwathamenam suvirudhamulam asanga shastrena dridhena chitva. So he says, sir, that this tree, you can't find it anywhere. Narupam asyeha yatha varnitam tatha upalabhyade swapna marichi udaga maya gandharva nagara samatva drishta nashta swarupa hi sa iti. Swapnam, like in the dream, or like the mirage, water in the desert, or gandharva nagaram. These are all examples used in the Bhagavadam to give us an imaginary feeling of things. You will see this, all the three used in the Bhagavadam at different places. Gandharva Nagaram, in case of Chitragedu, it was spoken by Angiras to him. Gandharva Nagaram, Marumarichika, which is the mirage in the desert, Swapnam in the dream, it's all similar things, right? What it is important is that when you are looking at it, it disappears. While you are looking at it, it disappears. Right. That is why Krishna is saying, na andar na chadir. It has no beginning, it has no end. But when you are looking at it, it disappears. Then, idi arabhaya ayam pravarta idi na kenajit gamyade. When did it begin and how does it work? All these things are unknown to us, right? So, ashvattham enam yathoktam suvirudham olam sushtu virudhani viroham gadani mulani yasyattam enam. This samsara vraksham, this tree of material existence, has to be cut through by detachment, by vairagyam, right? That means children, wealth, name and fame. All these desires has to leave first from inside and able to focus completely on the antaryami inside. And this has to be sharpened by vivekam and abhyasam, by power of discrimination and through power of practicing it again and again. That is anasakti, detachment, right? So, asanga shastrena dradena chitva. You mentioned that. Then he said that the tadaparam dar parimargidavyam yasmin gada na nivartandi bhuyaha tameva chadyam purusham prapadye yada pravarti prasada purani. The fourth verse. Right? Krishna says that the one should inquire about that place, Andaryami, here, right? And one, yasmin gada na nivartandi bhuya. Once you go back to that state of self-realization, Andaryami, you don't come back again. That's the place where your cycle of birth and death ends. It's over with that. Tadaparam dat parimargidavyam yasmin gada na nivartandi bhuyaha tam eva jadyam purusham pravanti eda pravarti prasada purani. So, our material existence began from there, from Andaryami it started. And I take shelter of that Andaryami from whom everything began, and finally it ends up there. Right? After that, tada paschat padam vaishnavam tad parimargidavyam. And that padam, that location, one has to find it oneself. One has to find it oneself. Right? So, by going back to that location from where you don't come back again, and that is that location Krishna is going to talk about from now on. The place where you go and from there you don't come back again. Right? So, and that is the only location if you want to be free from, once for all, from the cycle of birth and death. You got to get back to that location, which is referring to Andaryami. Right? And so, what Krishna is going to say is now that this Moola Surupam, our original Surupam is that, right? And that is our Adhishtanam, our foundation, is Andaryami inside, right? How to take his shelter? How to take his shelter? Andaryami Upasana, that's what he's going to talk about it from now on. That is from the verse 5 on. How to take the shelter of Andaryami, right? So, our situation is like this. I mentioned before also that the even Shankaracharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all these great personalities, they have spoken to Krishna with uttermost humility, asking for help. They are asking to teach us that that's a method, asking for Krishna's help. Without that, it is not possible. So the way they said to Krishna was that, on my own effort, it is not going to happen. By my effort. Because what Krishna has asked is beyond our capacity. Anyone in this world, if you think that I can on my own do it, manage it, it is only a illusion. It is not going to work. Right? So, and I do understand what you are saying makes sense and perfect it is. Whatever Krishna has spoken is perfect. And we can understand that, what Krishna is saying about this samsaram, material existence, tree, vairagyam, the necessity to break away from this, disconnect from this world, all these things, right? But we also have to acknowledge that in our present state, it is not possible to go back to Krishna, Go back to Antaryami means going back to Krishna. Krishna is the Antaryami inside, right? So, Acharya Swamiji says in his Sivananda Lahiri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in his, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't write much, he only wrote these 8 verses, isn't it? So in Shishashtakam he also says the same thing, that you have to accept me as I am. On my own effort, I'm not going to make it. It's not going to happen, right? So to think that I will become perfect in my sadhana, and in through sadhana I will reach you one day by my work of by excellent sadhana, what I do, that I'll be able to come back to you in this way, it's not going to happen. Acharya Swamiji mentions that in the Sivananda Lahiri, very precisely he said this. Through sadhana, it's not possible. And if we keep saying to Krishna this continuously, first of all, understand what Krishna is saying, that the situation is like this, Antaryami is my source where I came from. Me means the jiva came from there, is it not? And that jiva is doing all these, got entangled with this body, mind, senses and the world, everything, and got stuck in this. And that's the tree we are talking about. And this tree keeps on growing because jiva is trapped in this. And jiva keeps doing karma, the tree keeps growing. How do we become free from this? It's an imaginary tree and it is not in our control either. Because we fell into that trap or as jiva, right? So everything, body, mind, intelligence, senses, this world outside, all this is a part of that tree. And we are inside of this as jiva. So that process, how in this situation one could become free from that, is going to be talked in the fifth verse, in the next verse, right? So in the fourth verse, he's saying there that location, which is Antaryami, while going back there, tameva jadyam purusham pravati, eda pravarti prasada purani. Going back, you don't come back to samsaram again, to this material existence, right? And that, how to go back, that has to be done by surrendering to him, to the Antaryami, and inquire about that. Who is that Purusha inside? Purusha is that, Antaryami is that source, from whom, just like when a magician performs this magic, right? Similarly, this whole Maya, where it came from, it's from him, from Antaryami. He is called Purusha. From Purusha comes this Maya. Right? And who gets there? That is the next verse. Nirmana moho jidasanga doshaha adhyalpa nitya vinivritta kamaha dvandvair vimukta sukadukka satyar gacchandi amodha padam avyayam thal. That's the explanation for that. These are all the nature of a person, jiva, who is going towards Antaryami. Nirmana moha, jitasanga dosha, adhyalpa nitya, vinivritta kama, dvandvair vimukta, sukadukka sapnir, gacchandi amodha padam avyayam tat. That is his qualifications, right? So, when you look at these verses, right, Krishna is saying that the very nature of this tree is it's just like Krishna says that it's about cutting that tree, isn't it? That's the one we are going to talk about. How to cut the tree, right? Earlier verses Krishna said you have to cut the tree called samsara through vairagyam. To cut that tree, right? And this tree is very famous in the Veda also. The same tree is in the Veda, right? And so in Veda, is asking, what is this tree we are talking about, right? Where is that forest which is filled with this tree? Kim tad vanam? Brahmam is that, in that vriksham, the tree is in the Brahmam. And Brahmam is the forest. And our body is the tree. Our body is the tree, which is upside down. Urdhamulam atha shakha. And the root of this tree is in the buddhi. Earlier I said mind. But mind and buddhi is always interchangeable. Buddhi is a part of the mind. Mind is referred to generally as a subtle body. It is in the subtle body all the bondages, our bondage, isn't it? All attachment, aversions, everything. Andariyami has nothing to do with it. It's all there. So they will say that the root of this tree is in our buddhi. So that is the reason why they say that the root is at the top. The reason why they say is that because it's in the buddhi. Right? And all the branches, the leaves, the fruits are those, our senses, sense objects, they are all in the bottom. So every body, what we, every one of us, we have got a body, is a tree, is considered to be like a tree. And the ignorance in us, which is very deep rooted because of our identification with the body, right? That avidya is called the mula avidya, very root of it, our avidya itself, yeah? That is in the buddhi, right? And it is from there our ignorance begins, from that buddhi itself. Our buddhi has gone, actually, and we have destroyed it by our education, made it worse, right? So, it begins from that. And so, first thing is that avidya in the buddhi itself has to go, where it is very rooted, right? Because if the root is there, and that is why they said that it is a tree is upside down, because buddhi is at the top, and that buddhi is carrying this avidya inside us, right? Urdhva mulam. He says mulam means the root, right? Atha shakha. Shakha means the branches. And ashwatham. Ashwatham means that it cannot exist forever. And therefore it is called ashwatham. It is existing now, but may not exist forever. Prahur avyayam. So, why Krishna is saying it is avyayam? Avyayam means it cannot be destroyed. What is the reason? Because this cycle of birth and death will keep on going like this, endlessly, endlessly. This body we have got now, this body will die, and we have created enough avidya that we'll get another body again. So continuously getting recycled from one body to another, right? So, the only option, what it will continue like this, it's not going to stop, right? So Krishna is saying the only option what we have is, if you can realize it here now, you can escape from this, right? And the world will stay as it is. It's not going to change, right? So that is, great personalities, they have all agreed with this. Krishna also said that to Uddhava, right? And so as I leave, the world will go on its own way. So the thing is that to think that I will change this world, I can improve this world, this is all just, how do you call it, it is your imagination only. It is not going to work. You cannot change the world, right? Like Vivekananda said, it's like a tail of a dog. If you put a pipe on it to straighten it, if you take the pipe off, the tail will go back to its own way, right? He tried himself to create a big change in this world, right? And he came up with this conclusion that it is not going to work. Because this is Prakriti it is. Prakriti won't allow us to control her. She will have her own way of doing things. And it is foolishness to think that we will change the world and we'll change the, improve the conditions, right? What is the benefit of that then from this world? What benefit is that? You will get to know that you cannot change it. You will come to know that. That's the benefit, right? And once you get to know that, you cannot do anything with this world. Your connection with the world will go away. Your attachment to the world will go from inside. Once you get to see nothing works here, everything fails at the end, you can see what's going on, isn't it? So many people have come here to change the world and nothing happened. Every time they try to change something, within a short time, the whole thing goes back to its problem state again. We are fighting now, we are fighting then, we'll be fighting forever. That's not going to change, right? So by the time you get to realize that, all these false impressions what we have in us about the world will leave us. We will get to realize that this is not in my hands. This is not my job here to come and change the world. That's not my business, right? So by realizing that itself, a lot of your ignorance will leave you when you realize that. Because that is what is the problem, that in us we have this optimistic, they say. You have to be optimistic. Optimistic about what? What's the point of being optimistic about something which cannot be changed? Its very nature is like that. Yeah. So, if you try to change the world, you will get fed up one day and then you will realize it, that it cannot be done. Right? So, because then what will happen is people, next generation who is coming, they will do the same thing what we are trying to do. Like our ancestors did. We are trying to do the same thing. And they will also do the same thing. And this is the swabhavam or the nature of this samsara, material existence, right? And from time immemorial, people have been trying to change the world to make it a better place, right? All types of people, materialists, spiritualists, and people who have studied Vedam, the rishis, they have all, and even incarnations, they have tried to change this world, right? They all wanted to change this world to make it a heaven. All of them. Rishis have tried, incarnations have tried, and also materialists have tried, the spiritual leaders, they have changed, tried, they have all failed at the end. Right. So, because they have tried and they have failed, you know, if you have studied Bhagavatam, you will see Krishna saying to Uddhava, Sudushcharam imam manye, those verses, if you look in the 29th chapter, I think, Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Uddhava, as soon as I go, the world will go back to its own nature. You won't be able to do anything about it. And Uddhava also said, agreed with that. Yeah. So, many people have tried to make this world better, but whatever they have done, they tried very hard, but the people who have tried hard, they all left at the end. The world is still there as it was. Nothing has changed, right? So that is the nature of this tree. That is the nature of this tree, right? So Krishna used that word avyayam, isn't it? He used that padam avyayam tat. Gachandya amodha padam avyayam tat. That avyayam, Krishna is saying, is referring to that. This nature of this world which cannot be changed. Right? So, but the root of this creation is Brahman. Comes from Brahman. And it is the tree, this tree is established in that Brahman. Tree also, material world, has come from Brahma. From Brahma. So, what we call it as samsaram, where is it experienced? Right? Where is it experienced? Because where is it founded? It is in the Brahma. Brahma means that satta chitta anandam. That is its root, right? How is it established in the Brahma? Now, what is the connection with this creation and Brahma? That is what he is talking about, right? He is saying here that, see, I am dreaming now something. I am dreaming something, right? And how the dream is working inside me is something like a screen is there and the cinema is going on, film is going on there, right, in the screen. Or they give the example that just like there is, I'm sleeping, I don't know anything about this world, I'm in my sleep and I'm dreaming at that time. So when that dream I'm going through, nothing is happening to my body, but inside an experience. But in order that the dream to happen, Antaryami has to be there. Only when Antaryami is there, so Antaryami is a screen and I'm experiencing the dream. Jiva is experiencing the dream, isn't it? Similarly, so at the moment we wake up from the dream, nothing has changed except that I've come to the vacant state, the dream has gone, body is there, mind is there, senses, they all come back to me, right? So in this, just like similar to all these things, you have to little bit to put your effort to think about it and then get to terms with what Krishna is saying, right? He's saying that is just like you go into the desert and there is water far away, you are able to see from here. You are able to see far away water there. And you think there is water. You go all the way there, but the water keeps going further and further in the desert. You won't find it. It keeps going like that, right? Realistically, there is no water there. But you have created this impression inside, there is water there. Marumarichika, it's called. So, the thing to look at it is this, right? Whether there is a film going on in the screen or not, in the screen nothing is happening, is it not? Nothing is happening in the screen. When the film is running, nothing is happening in the screen, right? In the same way, I am dreaming, but actually for me, there is no dream. That means in my Antaryami, which is my real identity, there is no dream. Dream, who is experiencing? The Jiva is experiencing the dream. The Jiva Bhavam. Krishna is trying to make us understand what is Jiva, first of all. We have to know what Jiva is, isn't it? This chapter is very good that way, about the Jiva's actual situation is spoken in this chapter. The other things are all Puranic, you know, Kailasam, Vaikuntham, Golokam and all is coming from Purana. This is what Upanishads is saying. So you may find some difficulty here with the controversy with the Puranic way and the Upanishad way, right? So, the one who is witnessing the dream, Krishna is Antaryami inside, which is our actual identity is that, right? He doesn't have a dream, right? But then in my Jiva form, I'm experiencing the dream. The Jiva is enjoying the dream or suffering in the dream, is it not? You see the Jiva is going through all the experiences, right? So, the Antaryami is the Adhishtanam. Adhishtanam means without him these things can't happen because of the presence of Antaryami, right? In the same way, Krishna's point is that this world what we are experiencing now is because Krishna's presence in the world. Antaryami is present in the world, therefore it looks real to us. And that is the reason why when you look at something, it all exists, that feeling. Its existence, I see this watch, is there. Why do I feel it in me? Because of Antaryami's presence in that. Right? So, so this existence or Adhishtanam, that's the word for that. Adhishtanam, that is the truth. Vastu is not the truth. Adhishtanam is the truth. If you see a person, you are seeing him, the name and form of the person, right? But actually he is not the person. The person is inside, Antaryami is the person. that we don't notice it. We only see the name and form. But actual existence of the person is due to the Antaryami inside. So that is called Adhishtanam. In the same way, that Adhishtanam means the foundation, you can say. It is that foundation this creation is existing. You get that impression, right? They give this example like this, right? You see in a rope a snake, Rajusarpam. You see the rope and you saw that there is a snake. So that means the rope is the Adhishtanam and the snake is the Aaropanam. Adhishtanam, Aaropanam. Aaropanam means superimposing on that. The rope is the foundation. On that, I am thinking it's a snake. So the feeling that it is a snake is superimposed by me on the rope. Rope is rope and it is lying there. But I have, in my experience level, I'm seeing that as a rope. That means snake is something that is superimposed on the rope. So rope is called Adhishtanam and the snake is called Aaropanam. It is, I am superimposing on that, right? When I bring the light and show it on the rope, there is no snake there. Only the rope is there. Similarly, this whole creation will disappear once you realize the Antaryami of our Swarupam, our actual Swarupam. This chapter is difficult. I'm going to tell you more and more. It gets more and more difficult afterwards, right? Because as I said, that this is Vedam itself. Real Vedam is this chapter. That is why this chapter, because it is so much about Antaryami in this chapter. So many things about Antaryami spoken here. And while Vaishwanaran comes in this chapter, who digests the food, right? Therefore, they recite this chapter before taking prasadam. In the ashrams, all the big ashrams, they recite this chapter. Because of its potency in there. Vaishwanara is glorified in this chapter. Similarly, various aspects of Antaryami you will see here. So basically, it's a discussion about Antaryami. And Antaryami Upasana is important based on the Upanishads. Remember what we have discussed before. This is very Vedic it is. Vedic means Brahman is worshipped in the sun as Surya Narayana, in the Agni as Antaryami, and finally in the Vaikuntha. That four locations. This is Vedam. Vaidika Upasana is in these four locations. In the Vaikuntham, Vaikuntha Narayana worshipped. In the Surya, Surya Narayana is worshipped. In Agni, Agni is worshipped. Agni is Krishna's representation there. And then as Antaryami. Out of all these four, the one that is closest to us is this Antaryami. That's why Antaryami Upasana is very, very important. And Krishna has confirmed that in the Bhagavad Gita. Ishvara Sarvabhudanam Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishtari. Krishna is saying that, is he not? So Antaryami Upasana is so important. All Brahma, Brahadaranya Upanishad and all, talks about it so much in detail to make us aware that the Antaryami Upasana is perfect. All other Upasana has got some problems. We'll come to that later when we discuss this chapter. Why worshipping in Kailasam, Vaikuntham, Golokam and all that is not as perfect as Antaryami Upasana. Antaryami Upasana is the one which Vaidika tradition is. Vedam follows that tradition. So, but others are also accepted. Not that they are rejected, they are also accepted. Right? So, so once when you realize this Antaryami inside, then you realize that the world doesn't exist. World is not real. Only Atma exists, right? Nothing exists separately from Atma. That's what happens with the Antaryami realization. So this is, if you churn the Upanishads, this is the message from the Upanishad. Idam sarvam yede atmaha, yede atma. Whatever you are seeing here, in different names and forms is all nothing but Atma, right? And nothing exists separately from Atma. And that one principle is what Krishna has mentioned in this verse, Avyayam. Avyayam refers to that, that word, Avyayam, right? So, because it is completely based on the Antaryami, which is the Adhishtanam, Krishna calls it as Avyayam, Avyayam. For example, Rigvedam, Yajurvedam, Samavedam, Atharvana Vedam, in all of them this Karmagandam is there, Karmaganda Pratipadyam, right? All of them, now this is more interesting, Vedam itself is in order to maintain this tree, samsara tree, samsara vriksha. Major part of Vedam is Karmagandam, and Karmagandam only helps to maintain this tree. What does that mean? It means that when this Vedam was revealed to the world through the Rishis, right? Krishna says to the Prajapatis that live the life in this world based on Vedam, based on the Vedam. But this part of Vedam is not helpful for self-realization, to escape from the world. Karmagandam may not be of much help. Therefore, Karmagandam is generally addressed as something that helps you to maintain a lifestyle in this world which is not against dharma, is not against dharma, at the same time that it will increase your samsara, material existence. Do you get the point? That material existence won't go just because you followed Karmakandam. For that, if you want to escape from material existence, you have to take the shelter of Jnanakandam, which is the Upanishad side, Upanishads. So, except the Upanishad Shastram in the Vedam, all other parts of the Vedam encourages this samsara, material existence, right? Therefore, Karmagandam in the Vedam actually support the material existence, samsara vriksha. This tree what we are talking about, which is our samsaram, that tree gets its nourishment even from the Karmagandam of the Vedam. You just see how Vedam is. Vedam, we have different understanding, isn't it? Vedam. You know, people start all sorts of things, they talk about Vedam. It's amusing to see how other people understand Vedam. They don't understand anything. They think that. not only Vedam, right? They are all considered, even the different forms of worship, what we do, different Devata worship also, is all the leaves and flowers of this tree, samsara vriksha, right? So, for example, why Vedam is spoken in that way here? That in this material existence, we have distress in life. Different times, different things comes all the time, right? When distress comes, Vedam says to us, right, do this particular karma, solution for that, right? And then you will become free from your distress, right? For example, when you don't have children, they say, perform this Putragameshti Yagam, and that will, without causing, is not saying that you should go to the artificial methods of having progeny. Rather, this is the process. Vedam says, perform Putragameshti and you will have children if you perform that yagam properly, right? And so Karmagandam has got this problem. It is very much a supporting our material life in this world. You see in the Bhagavatam so many yagams spoken, isn't it? Putragameshti, Mahabali was performing Ashwamedham 100 times. Prudhu did that, Puryarvas did that, Puryarvas was an expert in that. And so You can see the Karmakandam's nature is like that, to help you in your material existence. In other words, Vedam is, Karmakandam is partly supporting this samsara vriksha. In other words, right? On the other hand, if that Karmakandam is executed proper understanding, then it can also help you to develop Chitta Shuddhi inside, which we have talked about it before, right? And it is capable of bringing you very close to the door of liberation, if it is executed with a different, without expectation anything, material expectations from the yagam sacrifices. If you execute Karmakandam, it will help us to develop Chitta Shuddhi, provided you have no material desires. Without any material desires, if you execute all these famous sacrifices, Adhiratram, Agnishtomam, Vajapayam, these are all famous sacrifices. Ashwamedham, Rajasuyam. Rajasuyam is of course done. That's why all the ancient kings, they were fond of these sacrifices. That's how their life was centered around that. So, it is capable, if you have no material desires and if you perform these sacrifices, what it does is, it creates Chitta Shuddhi, gets purification inside you, and it can bring you very close to the door of liberation. It can bring you right up to that, right? And when Chitta Shuddhi comes in a person, right, even though Karmakandam is not going to give you directly the knowledge of the self, self-realization, it is capable of creating Chitta Shuddhi inside. And instead of living a life in this world completely like a very crude person without any samskara living in this world, no purification, nothing, right? This Karmakandam is capable of purifying you, right? And also capable of helping you to live in a peaceful way in this world. And those things are there in the Karmakandam. You understand? That Karmakandam has got that capacity that at least you won't do things. For example, a lot of things what we do in this world is against dharma, isn't it? We all know that. But in the name of science and technology, we keep on doing all kinds of things which are against the laws of nature. Like this, you can see this oil business, getting the oil from the ground like this. And we have a different mindset now, how to exploit the nature. That itself is against the principles of Vedam. Right? So, in the same way, the forms we worship in the temples, right? All of that, when you go to the temple, people make different offerings for different reasons, isn't it? Different problems at home. Generally, people who have Krishna consciousness, they will go to the deity whom they are worshipping in the village, in the temples, and they'll make some offering to the deity because they are going through some struggle in life with some problems, right? And girls didn't get married or sons didn't get any occupation and things like that. And it is on that principle all the suktams in the Vedam has come. You see, sometimes suppose you have got a dull child born at home, what do? They recite Medha Suktam in order to increase the Medhasa. Medhasa means buddhi. Yeah. So there is a suktam for that. It was done like that. Many years that was the practice, right? Many great personalities, they were dull at birth. They couldn't understand things. But then later on, through Medha Suktam, our Brahmanas used to recite Medha Suktam hundreds of times. And with the ghee, they will offer it to the child to take it, or to the mother. And they created wonderful children from that, through Medha Suktam. So, Medha Suktam, similarly Bhagya Suktam, another one, Saraswata Gratham, all these things are done in the temples in the normal way. It is done because of that. All the deities are propitiated in this way. And that is all done through through this Karmakandam. It's all done through Karmakandam. Medha Suktam, Mangala Suktam, all these things, Mangala Suktam for the marriage, Medha Suktam for the buddhi, and similarly Bhagya Suktam, if you are financially in serious trouble, all your financial plans to work properly, Bhagya Suktam, and things like that. And if somebody is not getting well educated, Sarasvata Kasam is done for that. Right? So what you have to remember is that everything is based on the Vedam. You cannot step out of that. If you step out of the Vedic injunctions, that means you are finished. You are finished then. Then whatever you are doing is Vikarmam. So in order that we don't do Vikarmam, Vedam has set a boundary for everything and try to keep the human species within that boundary, right? So, just like in our material life, what we live in this world now, we have got all kinds of people, isn't it? The plumber, the electrician, the postman, and all sorts of things. Similarly, in order to maintain the samsara vriksham going on like this, these different departments spoken in the Karmagandam, right? So, so they are all, these different yagam, what is spoken is all, part of that Karmagandam is like our, in our now present life, we have all these kind of people, isn't it? Electricians, plumbers, and you know, all sorts of support services, what we are using to maintain. And but once you leave this Karma Kandam and go into the Upanishad Kandam or Jnana Kandam, then you have transcended all the other Karma Kandam, Devadas, you have transcended, and similarly you have transcended other things also, sacrifices, everything. And he doesn't require all these, strictly speaking, all the Devada Upasana and all that, right? Because for him, for a realized person, he knows that Antaryami is the same Brahman, Sachidananda Brahman. It's not different from that. And Vedam says that, right? If you see something separately from Brahman, right? Just like we say sometimes, he is a Brahmana, he is a Kshatriya, he is Vaishya, Shudra and all that, all these things. They are all based on the Jiva Bhava, nothing to do with Atma. In Atma, there is no Brahmana, there is no Kshatriya, there is no Vaishya, there is no Shudra. Only when you see the Jiva, that is where, when you identify with the body, when you start calling him a Brahmana, calling a Kshatriya and all that, right? So, and best example of that is that all these deities what we worship in different forms, they leave us even in Sushupti, is it not? In Sushupti, all the deities also leave us. Deities whom you worship very seriously in the vacant state, they are not there in the deep sleep, in the Sushupti, right? So whatever you may worship here, puja or worship you do, it is not there in your permanent experience. What I am trying to say is that ultimately Antaryami alone is the reality. Yeah? Why? It is like this, right? Vacant state, I have the temple, the worship, deity worship. You go and see offering your deity and offering your obeisances to the deity. Once you go into the deep sleep state in Sushupti, where is the deity? So, to that, so you can think like that also, is it not? So, so, in our experience level, if it is not there in all the three states, it is not truth. That's the definition of the truth. Truth means in all the three states it should exist. And if it is not existing in all the three states, it is not the truth. And therefore, our deity worship, and similarly, all other things what we do in this world, festivals and all sorts of things, right? It is not there in the Sushupti though. When you go into Sushupti, that's all finished there itself, right? But Right now, our bhakti is like this. We go to the temple and we hear some nice kirtan or bhajan, bhajan clubbing or whatever happens there. You get a little bit emotional with that. And sometimes tears come from the eyes because of the ecstasy what you have experienced. Some people, they do all that, right? So, that is not the end of spiritual life, right? Ultimately, we don't have any shelter in that because temporarily when you go there and when you are part of that worship in the temple, that time temporarily you get some emotions inside, and that comes in the form of tears and all that. And you start saying that, I have experienced bhakti, I felt ecstasy and all that. People say all these kind of things, isn't it? Not? That's why when they start this kirtan and all, they will say that you focus on this and you feel very, you know, you feel, withdraw your mind from everything. But that's all temporary things they are. That's not a permanent thing, right? So, here, what Krishna's point is that those perceptions are all based on your mind. Mind is the force behind that. And it is in your mind that you are worshipping that form. Form what you are worshipping is in your mind, right? And the mind itself is not a permanent thing. At some point in time, mind will also go, right? Just like in deep sleep. Where is the mind? Mind is gone. So just like the mind disappears in the deep sleep, similarly this worship of the form of the deity also goes away in the deep sleep, right? And something that is present inside us even when the mind is not there, that's Antaryami. Why Antaryami is more important than others, that's what I'm explaining now. Why Antaryami is more important than the temple worship? Temple worship, deities, forms and everything, all these temples, ashrams where you go, all of them leaves you in Sushupti. That is not there. Antaryami is present in the Sushupti. Because of that only you are waking up and saying in the morning that I had a good time. Because of the presence of Antaryami. Right? So, what is present in the Jagrat? Jagrat Antaryami is there. What is present in the Jagrat? What is present in the Svapnam? And what is present in the Sushupti? That Chaitanyam, that is what is called Atma. Antaryami, Atma. Atma, right? And that is our actual Surupam. Actual Surupam. If you realize that Antaryami, then you don't lose it anymore. Just like you lose the other things, right? So, it is only then you are in touch with the reality, absolute truth. Only when you are in touch with the Antaryami. And that is what we say, that you have seen Krishna, that means when you have touched Antaryami. Or you say you have realized the Self or Ishvara, all these things only applicable at that time when the Antaryami is touched, right? And taking shelter of that Antaryami inside, Ashrayatvam, and that is a permanent thing. It is not an ashrayatvam from the mind, right? In other words, what it is that we are taking shelter of Antaryami through Antaryami itself. In other words, Atma, I am taking shelter with Atma. By realizing Atma, what I am doing actually is, I am taking the shelter of Antaryami by realizing Atma. That is what Krishna is saying here. Chandamsi, he said, Chandamsi yasya parnani, he said. So, earlier he said that, he said, no, Chandamsi yasya parnani yastum vedasa vedavit, he said, right? This modern science, for example, what we have, technology, science and technology, all these things are meant to strengthen this tree of samsara, samsara vriksha, right? Just like if you get headache, you take some medicines, right? And with that, probably the headache goes away. And what we are actually doing now is, we want to make our life more comfortable in this world. Is it not? All the science and technologies for that purpose. how to make their life more comfortable, right? And as much as possible, improve their living conditions, living standards, what they call it, right? So, Sadashiva Brahmendra, he has spoken about it nicely. What he says is like this, that, you know, what our effort is, there is water there, and you are trying to control the water through a chain, right? Or there is some bubbles coming from the water. You're trying to put a chain around that and try to hold it tight, right? So you won't be able to control water by using a chain to tie it down, right? So what we are trying to do now is, in different ways, some or the other, I'm just saying our thinking, right? We want to keep the jiva inside this body at any cost, isn't it? Mm-hmm. That's what all medicine is about. To keep the jiva inside this body, somehow or the other, right? So, and for that we have got all, if the jiva is pushing oxygen inside, you know, with what they do through ventilator and all other things, somehow or the other keep the jiva inside, not allow the jiva to leave the body, right? And similarly through medicines. All these are different methods to keep the jiva inside the body at any cost, right? Oxygen, medicine, right? It's all, Sadashiva Brahmendra says that, it's all like just like you're trying to control it, water with the chain. Chain cannot, because water will come through other sides, different other way, right? So that's what science is trying to do basically. If you think about it, right? What is science doing? This is all science trying to do. Year after year, all these big research institutions and all the scientists, what are they doing? Somehow or the other, how can I stay in this body without leaving this body? And how to improve my life in this body, right? So, therefore, all this science is all, modern science, comes under that category, what Krishna calls it as Chandamsi, yeah? So, whatever modern science is inventing, all those science is not a science of the soul, knowledge of the self, it doesn't help. None of these, right? And in our material life, in order to create some shanti, peace, samadhanam, right? They are trying to create that, to have some peaceful life in this world. It is for that purpose this knowledge is trying to help us in that way, right? Adhyalpa Vidya does not deny that, right? But ultimately it is of no use. This is the point, right? This is the Rishi's point. What Rishis are saying to us is, all this knowledge what you are working hard to create, to keep the jiva inside this body and try to make life comfortable here, on an ultimate level it is not of much help, because ultimately Prakriti will take control and Prakriti won't allow you to, no matter what you do in this world, you won't succeed in this. You can try and some success you may have in that direction, but at the end of the day it is not of much, at the absolute level it's not of much help, right? And therefore this knowledge is called aparavidya. That's why it's called aparavidya. Then it cannot solve the problem, but it can give you some kind of temporary relief here in this world. Keep your body somewhat fit with some medicines and all kinds of things. You know, all what we do, if you look at it, this is what we are doing, isn't it? We go running in the morning, walking long distances, go to the gym, and then we control our diet in different ways. And everything possible, multivitamin tablets, Tai Chi, Kung Fu, anything and everything, all this science is based on this body. Is it not? Based on this body. Yoga, Westerners love that. Yoga. I say, they are doing yoga, they say. And this yoga means keeping the body going well. That's what they've understood. What can you do? So that's the way it is understood. So everything, when you look at it, you can see this problem. Everything is abhravidya. Abhravidya. So looking at all these things, ultimately, it is a abhravidya is the one that's keeping this tree growing. The tree what Krishna is talking about. Abhravidya and the tree are very closely connected, right? And the tree gives you a lot of distress also in life, right? And the jiva is living on this tree. Jiva is living on the tree. And jiva obviously is not independent because constantly is getting happiness and distress, one thing or the other. And it is the same principle what was taken into Upanishads and said about the tree with the two birds sitting. It is that tree he is talking about. It is this tree what was spoken in the Upanishads. Dvasuparna saicha sakayam samana vriksham parishasva jadi tayoranyam pipala swadhati anastananyo abhijagashiti. Those verses in the Upanishads is referring to this tree. Remember in the Bhagavatam, Krishna has taken that and mentioned about that in the 10th chapter, right? So, in the, that was taken from the Mandukya Upanishad. Yeah. Mundaka Upanishad, sorry. From Mundaka Upanishad it was taken. And there are, if you go further into that, it says, Samana Vrakshay Purusho Nimadno Anishaya Shojadi Mukhyamana Jushtam Yada Pashyat Anandamisham Amasya Mohim Mahimana Midi Vita Shogaha Yada Pashya Pashyade Rukma Varnam Kartaramisham Purusham Brahma Yonim Tada Vidwan Punya Babe Vidhuya Niranjanam Paramam Samyak Mupeti. That is the whole verses in the Mundaka Upanishad. Yeah. So there he mentioned, Krishna mentioned that in the Ekadasha Skanda, that there is a tree, body is there, this body is the tree, and in that these two birds are sitting. You all know that, isn't it? The two birds are sitting on the tree. We all know the theory at least. And one bird is eating the fruits, which are, and also it's eating the sweet fruits and the bitter fruits, right? One after the other, it is getting that, right? And that bird, which is eating the sweet and the bitter fruit, sees us, jiva, right? And what is that jiva? Our ego, ahankaram, or our personality. That's what it is. Our personality is that jiva, ahankaram, ego, right? So, just like even in satsangam, if you hear something what you like, you feel happy. If you something, suppose you feel hungry, then you feel distress. Right? So, this bird is like that, jiva. When he gets something happiness, it enjoys. When it gets something distressful, it suffers, feels distressed. Right? So, one after the other, this experience, every day. Right? And who is experiencing this? Our ego. Ahankaram is the one. Around that, all this is built up. Right? So, one person asked this question, that I hear this Vedantam a lot, right? But in experience level, it's not happening, right? They answer this question nicely, right? People keep hearing this a lot, but then it's not coming into experience level, it is still the same thing, right? So the answer was given that that's because you are hearing it, that's the problem, he said. Because using your ears, you are hearing that. Vedantam is not by heard by the mind. It has to be heard by the Antaryami inside. Antaryami has to give you the... Everything is with Antaryami. Right? Whether Ahankaram hears something, you won't get any benefit from that. Right? So, therefore, it is a problem that when Ahankaram listens, it is very subtle, these things. People don't talk about it. That's the unfortunate thing. Because they don't talk about it, we got used to this way of reading books in a particular way. And what is written, that's what it means. That's not Rishi's method. Yeah. So, in Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna is saying this. At the end, Sudha Goswami says this. That Krishna says, Krishna is saying, Krishna is listening. Remember?
Yeah.
Krishna saying, speaks, Krishna listens in Brahma's heart. Krishna in Brahma's heart speaking, and Krishna in Narada Maharshi's heart is listening. Krishna in Narada Maharshi's heart speaking, Krishna in Vedavyasa Maharshi's heart listening. Krishna in Vedavyasa Maharshi's heart speaking, Krishna in Shukabrahmarshi's heart is listening. Krishna in Shukabrahmarshi's heart is speaking, Krishna in Parikshit's heart is listening. Up to that, it is spoken in the Bhagavad. Yasmin yena vibhasidoyam lo jnana pradeepa pura tadruvenaja naradaya muneye krishnaya tadruvena yogindraya atmanada bhagavadradaya kanyana tashuddham vimalam vishavakam amrutam satyam param dhimahi. That is the essence of the way of transmission of spiritual knowledge. It will never be discussed in the temples, it will never be discussed in the Satam and all that, because people are tuned in a different way. Only when very limited people in a private conversation you can explain these things. That these are the subtle things. Vedantam, you can keep on hearing whole life, but as long as you are hearing with the Ahankaram inside, it won't have any impact. It has to go Andaryami to Andaryami. That's the only way this message will be transmitted. Andaryami to Andaryami. That's what he's saying here. Right? So, so Krishna said that he sat in Brahma's heart and heard Krishna's. That's not. In the Bhagavatam it is like that. Right? So, and similarly from Narada Maharshi's heart, he sat there and heard that. And Shukabrahmarshi heard that, Parikshit heard that. And so when we are hearing like this at some point in time, if Krishna hears that from inside, Andaryami hears from inside, then what Krishna hears, Andaryami hears, it will have its effect on us. When Andaryami hears, right? So, at that time, when Andaryami starts hearing, and we started getting the experience of that, then we will stop hearing ourselves directly, right? And this is the reason Vedavyasa Maharshi says this, that you have to keep hearing again and again and again. Avartanam, it is called Avartanam. There is one of the sutrams in the Brahma Sutra, Avartanam is spoken. Repeatedly hearing this, so that at some time, Andaryami will capture it. And when Andaryami captures it inside us, our Andaryami inside captures it, you will get the experience from there. And at that time, you will realize that Andaryami is listening, not me. All these are subtle things. We can only talk like this, but one has to accept it. There is no other way. Yeah. In other words, actual listener, Shrota, is not us, right? Shrotrasya Shrotram. In other words, Shrotrasya Shrotram. That's a word in the Kathopanishad for that. Shrotrasya Shrotram. Shrotram. Sitting inside us, one who actually listens. It's not the jiva who is listening. One who is sitting inside us and who is actually listening. Shrotrasya Shrotram, right? He is hearing about his own glories when it is spoken, right? And when you hear that, the Andaryami himself inside us is hearing that about his own glories, that is what leads into realization. And as soon as he starts hearing properly, it is not happening fully now, it will capture fire and it will blast from inside, which means it will come to the experience level. Right? Till you get that experience, you have to keep on hearing this. Right? So, samsaram, that tree what we are discussing, right? And its root is ahankaram. Root is ahankaram. You know Krishna has said this in the Ekadasi Skandam, right? Harsha, shoka, bhaya, krodha, lobha, moha, spraha, adaya, ahankarascha, drishyante, janma, mrityu, na alpana. Birth, death also is for this ahankaram. So, ahankaram is jiva. Jiva is nothing but ahankaram, right? When ahankaram or ego, you can see when ahankaram wakes up in the morning, this tree wakes up in the morning, our tree, is it not? And every day you are seeing that when we wake up in the morning, ahankaram wakes up first and then the tree wakes up. First ahankaram wakes up, right? And when you go into sushupti, the tree goes away, ahankaram goes away as well, right? And say for example, a very person, someone who is very close to you in life, he died or she died, right? And then in the vacant state you cried and you felt very sorry about that and sad, everything, right? How long do you have that? Till you go into deep sleep. Once you go into deep sleep, the person who left doesn't make any difference to you, right? So, so till you sleep, right? So, this, once this deep sleep comes, your ahankaram disappears. Ahankaram disappears, right? So, when ahankaram disappears, distress has also gone along with that, right? Again, next day, when the ahankaram comes back, distress also comes back. Say somebody died very close to you. You cried a lot, you felt very depressed, and you felt very sad, oh, it's gone, and you feel helpless and all that, right? How long? Till you get the deep sleep. And it's gone. The person who disappeared also doesn't make any difference. And your distress also gone. But then the whole thing comes back in the morning when you wake up from that distressful state. And so that means first ahankaram comes, and then all the suffering also comes along with that, right? And again you started crying the next day after this, right? So, and all the distress has come back, right? So the happiness you got in the night on Sushupti, that's gone with that, right? So first thing what appears in the morning is this ahankaram when you wake up, right? And where is this ahankaram? And why does that happen again? Why does it come back again, right? So, and when you wake up, ahankaram comes and you get your identity back, jiva, I am. That feeling comes, right? And then what happens? The mind comes. And then where did this all come from? That I am, ahankaram comes and the mind comes, right? It all comes from avyaktam. Krishna mentions that in the Bhagavad Gita. Yeah, if you look at the 8th chapter, Krishna mentions that all these things come from avyaktam. That's the word he has used. Avyaktad, 18th verse. Avyaktad vyaktaya sarva prabhavandi aharagame Jatre agame praliyandi tatraiva avyakta samyage. This avyaktam is that. From avyaktam he comes, right? So, this avyaktam, prabhavandi aharagame, ratri agame praliyandi tatraiva avyakta samyage. So, from avyaktam ahankaram comes. And this avyaktam is the root of every of this tree. So this tree, Upanishad is saying, Vedam is saying, and in many places in Mahabharatam it is saying, and it is also quoted in the Vishnu Puranam, right? After explaining this tree of material existence, samsara vriksham, basically what it is our family life. Our family life, right? And it is not easy to cut this tree, family life, right? A tree outside you can cut it off, but this tree is inside us, right? there is a saint who spoke about this. He said that you are stuck in this. How, you know, the example he has given is like this. When they cut the tree outside, in the olden days, they come with the saw, hacksaw, they cut it, right? So, tree is big, takes a long time. So, he start applying this saw to cut it, different branches. And then he has to, he cannot complete in one lot. But it is working, it takes time. So what he does is, when he is cutting, he will put one piece of wood inside that, so that he can stop the work for temporarily and take some rest, and then come back and take that piece, what he has put inside, take it out, and then continue with the cutting with that, right? So one monkey was looking at it. You know how monkeys are, right? We are like that, isn't it? Right? So monkey thought, why is he putting this wood piece inside? And he went and sat there, and his tail was hanging around in between. He is not conscious of that, right? He felt some fun in doing that. He wanted to pull out that piece of wood, you know, which you give it as a inserted inside. He pulled that out. So what happened was the wood closed, and he's got his tail stuck inside that, the monkey's tail, right? So, similarly, and it got stuck in that. So, in the same way, this material world, material existence is like that. We are all those monkeys. We have put our tail in that and we are stuck in this and not able to come out of this, right? And that is what that second verse Krishna said. Adaschordam prasradastasya shaka gunapravardho vishaya pravala. If you have analyzed that verse, gunapravardho vishaya pravala, three modes of nature and the sense objects together has caught us like that. Adascha moolani anusandhadani karmani bandhini manushyaloke. All refers to that, right? So, and you cannot even find out where the root of this tree is. And every time you try to escape from that, you get trapped in that. And suppose you like, you see this example that if you fall into a deep sea or ocean somewhere, yeah, you will go down, isn't it? Suppose you are dead, you have no, if it's a dead body, if you throw it into the water, it will float. Why is that? A dead body, when you are alive, you go into the water, you will sink, go down. If you are dead, and if your body is put into the water, it floats. Why? Angaram. Angaram is the reason behind it. Yeah? So, so, body, dead body is able to float, right? And same thing with the Ahangaram inside us now. As long as we are working with the Ahangaram inside, we are in trouble, right? And the reason is that when we are alive and if you are in the water, you are trying to escape from the water, isn't it? It is because of that that we go down. Similarly, because there is ahangaram in us while working, due to that, we get caught. Suppose you are able to work without any ahangaram, you won't be affected by karma. That is a preliminary, but that is a difficult thing. Ahangaram is doing the work, right? So, suppose you can live in this world not getting attached to anybody, anyone, anything, right? Just like a machine, if you are able to operate in this world, then you won't be bound by the world. You won't be bound by the world. But, on the other hand, if you try to do with your ahangaram, try to escape from this, you will get caught. So, this is our situation. Right? Just like this dead body and the living person. Living person goes underneath the water as soon as he's thrown in. Because he'll try to escape and then he gets, loses it. He falls, goes down in the water. Whereas the dead body you throw in the water, it always floats. Isn't it amazing, that thing? when you think about it. Is it not? That body you throw into the water, it is floating. It's not going down. But if I'm thrown into the water, I go straight deep into that. And I'll try to escape. But I won't. I will go down. I cannot stay on top of the water. That's the problem. Yeah. So, similarly, this world, it is impossible to give up this world completely or wipe out this world from inside. World is inside us, right? So what is practical then? What should be done? If you can inquire about yourself, who you are, and if you are able to realize that about your spiritual identity, and realize the self, and identify with the Antaryami inside, then you can escape from this. That is the solution, and that is called bhakti. That is called bhakti. That is actual bhakti. Not this, the problem with other bhakti is, you go, you say in a kirtan hall, you sit there, you participate in the kirtanam. Temporarily you get an experience, but it will, as soon as you leave the kirtan hall, it's gone. But this is not that bhakti, what Krishna is talking about. Krishna is saying that self-realization brings another bhakti. That's parabhakti. And that is the bhakti, real bhakti. Other one is bhakti coming from temporary situations. Like you go to a nice temple, see the deities dressed nicely, offer obeisances, and some feeling comes inside. Or you hear something spoken, kirtanam or prabhashanam, whatever it may be, and from that you get some kind of spiritual happiness, and you feel you are having bhakti. But the problem with that bhakti is, it's not permanent. It will leave you. This bhakti, when you realize this way, that realizing the self, and after that what you experience, that bhakti is Krishna is talking about. And that is why in those two verses, Ishvara Sarvabhudanam Pradeshi Arjuna Tishtadi Brahmayan Sarvabhudani Yantrarudani Maya Tameva Sharanam Gacha Sarvabhavena Bharata Yal Prasadal Param Shantim Sthanam Prapsasi Shashodam. That bhakti is that referring to here. That bhakti, right? So bhakti, stricter term speaking, it is self-realization, is bhakti, right? That means without any interruption in that realized state of Antaryami. So if that bhakti comes, Krishna is saying, right, this samsaram is gone then. Material existence is not there anymore. Samsaram is gone. So a devotee or bhakta who is in constant realization of the Antaryami inside, for him, these problems of this world, right, and all the difficulties will not have any effect on him, because he'll be like a person who is intoxicated with self-realization, right? And it is spoken in the Bhagavatam in many places about a devotee, right? So it will not affect him, because unmattavad, it says, prarabdham will keep coming to him. But because of this taste of the self-realization, what he has acquired, right, he is absorbed in the self. Due to that, he will escape from the sufferings of this world. And except this process, there is no other way of getting out of these problems of this samsara. Except through self-realization, it's not possible to escape from samsara, right? Because Krishna said there that if you try to understand this samsara, it is neither beginning nor end. And in this our material life itself, many things, if you try to inquire too much into it, you still don't find an answer to all the problems of life. Is it not? So, there is examples mentioned about that. A woman who have no children, she cannot have children, barren woman, right? And somehow that children, that woman had a child. Vandhya Putra, it is called. And it so happened that he became a prince later. And the doctors, astrologers said to her that you won't have children, right? But then this happened. And the child was very good looking, so gave him a name Sundar, beautiful child, right? This is a story Ajari Swamiji quotes in this connection, he's saying there, right? And he became a prince and he did all the administration of the kingdom, everything very well. And suddenly in his youth, he died one day. Everybody cried and felt very sorry about that. And this story, if you hear like this, right? If you are crying about it, it doesn't mean anything. Because first of all, it's an imaginary thing. It is difficult for a son to be born from a barren woman. No child can be born. Right? We have forgotten that. But then we got caught up in the child becoming a prince and all his beauty and all his administration and all his death, everything. We thought about all that and we were crying about it. Right? So, for example, while explaining this story, they'll talk about various things, how he goes into battlefield to fight the battle, how he goes on pilgrimage to holy places and things like that. So, you know, you heard about this word, sky flower. Imaginary thing in the world, outside. Right? Yeah. So, imaginary, it is an imaginary thing. There is no flower in the sky, but they call it as Agasha Pushpam, sky flower. Right? Similarly, rabbits which has got horns. Rabbits have no horns. So, similarly, so they say that he was wearing this sky flower in his head and he has taken a sword which was made from the horns of the rabbits. And then he bathed in the water in the desert. There is no water in the desert. And he has bathed in that. In this way, that story is spoken a lot, right? So, just like you are hearing that story, which is an imaginary story, but not conscious of that, but you get absorbed in the story so much that you have forgotten that this story cannot happen, right? Similarly, this ahankaram inside, what is inside us, right, is taking all these identities, I am this, I am that, I am her husband, I am the father of these children. These are all identities we have taken through this ahankaram, through the ahankaram. And in this way, this tree has become so big. I have a position in the society. These are my in-laws. These are my children. And they are their family. And this samsaram has grown like this. Whole world has become. And that is what Krishna is talking about here. That samsaram, nature of samsaram. Right? So, and in this way, this samsaram has gone like this. And you are trying to find out the meaning of all these things, what we have created in this way, right? So our ahankaram has done all these things. And this ahankaram, who is experiencing all the distress in this world, means all the happiness and distress, who is this ahankaram? That inquiry about that, right? And when you start inquiring, spiritual inquiry, when you do, through self-realization process, you get to realize that ahankaram is not real. That's what you get to know that later. What you find there is Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam, which is Andaryami only, Atma Anubhavam. And so in Atma, Andaryami, there is no creation, there is no maintenance, there is no destruction. All these things are happening for the Jiva, And by knowing Andaryami only, you can become free from this tree of samsara. There is no other way. That's the point Krishna is stressing here, right? And if you realize it, Andaryami, your problem will be solved, not others' problem, right? And others won't even know that you have become free from this tree. You have become free from the tree. And in your own level, you will experience the self-realization and the knowledge will start working. At that time, you realize that I am not born, I don't die, and my nature is pure consciousness. This realization will come to us. And that is called jnanarasam. The knowledge of the self will come within, right? So outwardly, you may be doing various things, and you all this happiness and distress may be coming. They'll come and go, but it won't be affecting you, right? So, if this realization has become strong inside, then prarabdham also won't be have an effect on you, right? And similarly, agama karmam, sanchidam, all these karmam has you have become free from all the three, right? And prarabdham, you may have to wait to run out, but prarabdham won't disturb you. You may have to wait till the prarabdham to run out, because prarabdham is a matured karma. Therefore, you have to wait till the body goes through it, right? But prarabdham won't disturb you inside. That's a benefit from that. Right? And at the same time, the shanti, peace, what you experience inside, will keep improving, right? So this is how self-realization happens. That for him, agami and sanchidam, both of them already goes away, straight away with self-realization. Prarabdham will still be working, but will not have any impact on him. Right? And plus, whatever karmam is going through prarabdham, it is not creating any more vasanas, because he has become free from the prarabdham. Vasana won't be there, therefore he is not going to be bound anymore. That is how this tree gets cut. This tree gets destroyed. So all the karma what he is doing, even at that stage, will be finished there itself. But this is the realized soul's person. What about us in the normal state? That is what Krishna mentioned there. Guna pravardha vishaya pravala. Remember that? Guna pravardha vishaya pravala. We have to remember that all the time. Three modes of nature and the sense objects together work, and we are entrapped in that. Adashodham, these are all the branches and the leaves of the tree. Guna pravardha vishaya pravala, Krishna mentions there, right? So long as you don't have self-realization, no matter what you do in this world, it will all come as vasana inside us, right? You do a lot of good things in this world, it will come as vasana. You do bad things in this world, it will come as vasana, right? And if suppose you have done a lot of good things in this world, then you know what will happen? You will say, everybody should recognize me for what I have done. I should get a Padma Shri or Padma Vibhushan or Padma, the various things, right? And people start thinking like that. How long have I been doing this, right? And nobody is recognizing this. And naturally a desire will come from that. And because you are doing a lot of good things and nobody is recognizing it, that will come like that, right? You take, for example, our Alfred Nobel, right? Nobel, unfortunately, he created something. And due to that, he regretted later. So what he did was, he said that, when you do sinful things for atonement, what you do is, you do some, there are certain atonement karma, and then you give the dakshina to the brahmana who will accept your karma. Brahmanas have that, there is a system like that in the Veda. You give a dakshina to the brahmana, and you perform the particular atonement, and the brahmana will accept your sinful reactions from that, right? And when you give like that, suppose you have done something very cruel, and then, but normally brahmanas won't come forward to do it. Very rarely they will do it, right? And due to that, because the person is feeling so guilty inside for what he has done, right? And when he gives some money, dakshina for that, it's called pradigraham. Pradigraham, right? So most of the Brahmanas won't go for that, right? Because he's basically buying the sinful reaction from that person. Similarly, what Alfred Nobel has done is that all his sinful reaction he is sharing with all the Nobel Prize winners. They are actually receiving his sinful reaction for what he has done is being shared by all those great personalities who are receiving the Nobel Prize. And that's what Trump wants. So he wants it, isn't he? He's asking that, why I'm not given. I've done so. I stopped 8 wars, he said. So why I'm not given. So the same thing. So basically, winning Nobel Prize means, because he has created such amount of wealth in Sweden, there is a team of people who decide who should get it and who shouldn't get it and all that. So, symptom of spiritual knowledge is this, that this begging business for bhiksha has to stop. Ranganath Ananda used to talk about this. He said he was given many recognitions by the government, and which was prior to independence, when whole Bharat Bhumi was together, Pakistan, Bangladesh, everything together, right? He refused everything. He said that the greatest gift I've got is this sannyasam, he said. And I don't want any other recognition more than this, right? So, gunapravardham means, what Krishna is saying here, gunapravardham means, due to the karma what we do in this world, due to that, it creates vasana inside, and it will be in the form of desire for results, right? And if you have done good things, that also will remain inside in the form of a avidya, ajnanam, right? And even if you do bad things also, it will remain inside, right? If you do a lot of bad things in this world, after some time, you won't have any hesitation in doing more bad things. That's how it is, right? And because it is staying inside as vasana. So Krishna is saying, Vishaya Pravala. Vishaya Pravala means that, like in the field, many plants comes out, right? And similarly, these vasanas inside will keep coming out, whatever we have done. And that will sprout, and it will come in the form of desires, and it will keep on flowering inside, right? And karma will never stop. It will keep on going, one after the other. So, people think that I'll finish my karma one day and I can sit peacefully, but it will never come to an end. And that is what he's saying there. Atascha mulani anusandadani karmanubandhini manushya loke. In 2 lines, Krishna has spoken the science of karma very precisely there. Atascha mulani anusandadani karmanubandhini manushya loke, he said, right? So, what he is saying is, when you die in this world, the root, what you have, the tree what you have created, its root is so strong now that it will take you to the next body. The root is so strong that you will go into the another body, right? And this will go on like this. And then the thing is this, that if you say that I can't see this root, I can't see the tree and all, if you say like that, when you are involved in this tree, right, you won't get it. You won't get it. So, that is what he said in the next verse. Narubamaseha. You won't be able to see the form of the tree. Narubamaseha tatopa labhyade. Nando na chagar naja sampradishta. Ashwatthamenam suvirudhamulam asanga shastrena dhudena chitva. Krishna says that. We'll have a break. Chedo darpana marjanam bomahala vagminavapanam sayakaidava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadu jivanam anandam buddhivardhanam buddhivada purnam rudaswadanam സർവാത്മാസുപനം പരം വിജയേ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ സങ്കീർത്തനം നാം നാമകായ ബഹുദാ നിജ സർവശക്തി സ്മരണേന കാലം ഏതാദൃശീതൃപാ ഭഗവൻ മമാപി ദുർദൈവമേദൃശമിഹാജനിന്നാനുരാഗാഹ തൃണാലിഷുനീചേനോരവീ സഹിഷ്ണുന അമാനിനാമാനദേന കീർത്തനീയ സദാ ഹരി നധനം നജനം നസുന്ദരീം കവിതാം വാ ജഗദീശകാമയി മമ ജന്മനി ജന്മനീശ്വരി ഭവദാൽ ഭക്തിരഹൈതുകി ത്വയി അയി നന്ദതനൂജകിങ്കരം പതിതാം മാം ക്ഷമേ ഭവാംബുധൌ കൃപയാ തവ പാദപങ്കജസ്ഥിതധൂളീ സദൃശം വിചിന്തയാം നയനം കളശുധാരയാ വദനം ഗദ്ഗദരുദ്ധയാ ഗിരാ പുളകേർനിജിതം കഥാവഭൂ തവം നാമഗ്രഹണേ ഭവിഷ്യതി യുഗായുധം നിമേഷേണ ചക്ഷുഷാ പ്രാവിശായുധം ശൂന്യായുധം ജഗൽ സർവം ഗോവിന്ദവിരഹേണ മേ ആശ്ലിഷ്യ വാ പാദരതാം വിനഷ്ടുമാം അദർശനാം മർമഹതാം കരോതു വാ യഥാതഥാ വാ വിദധാ തുലം ഭടോ മൽപ്രാണനാഥാസ്തു നൈവ നാപരാ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ന രൂപമസ്യേഹ തഥോപലഭ്യതേ നാന്തോ ന ചാതിർ ന ച സംപ്രതിഷ്ഠ അശ്വത്ഥമേനം സുവിരൂഢമൂലം അസംഗശാസ്ത്രേന ദൃഢേന ചിത്വാം. സോ ദീസ് ട്രീ, if you try to understand what is the form of this tree, you won't get anywhere. You will never get to understand this tree, right? Because it is one thing, it is the way Krishna has put it. Prahaliga, they call it, the word. We ourselves, if you look at our own life, you can understand that, right? Why is this life like this? That we were born, then we had to go to school, and then study for 15, 20 years, all what they have told us. You have to absorb all that. And then marriage, and then children. And then all these things happen, then you are dead and gone from here. So what does it mean? Right? So, and sometimes, some people, they are good people, but whole life they are caught up in this. They are good people, but their whole life they are caught up in this, in this family life, right? And sometimes you observe that by nature they are good, very good, but at the same time entanglement in so many things and suffering from that, right? And sometimes you see family life, I'm saying, children die very early in life, they go, right? Or sometimes some accidents happened, right? And then you are reading this Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, and Mahabharatam, Ramayanam, everything, right? And then things are happening, this also in life, all other problems. And why nothing is changing? Who can answer this question? That's what Krishna is saying. Na rupam asyeha tathopa labhyate. In one line, he explained that. Na rupam asyeha tathopa labhyate. What's happening in life, you can't explain it to anybody. Nobody can explain that, he said. Yeah. You can keep on asking this question, why it is happening. For example, when you are suffering, obviously, you will take to some spiritual process to mitigate the suffering inside. Either reading Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam or Mahabharatam or Ramayanam or whatever, or going to the temples, offering obeisances, chanting the holy name. Various ways you try to destroy, try to minimize that suffering inside. Yeah. So, what? And then nothing is happening. Suffering is still coming. And then you ask the question, what do I do with this is the situation, right? Nobody can answer that. Na rupam asyeha tathopa labhyate. That's the answer for that. Krishna is saying that, right? And there are many things in this world which your intelligence will not be able to track and kind of come up with the conclusions on that, right? Things will happen like that. Many things in life where you won't be able to explain it. why I have to go through this and why I have been put into this situation, right? So this effort will keep on going like this. We'll try to solve the problems, but problems keep coming. Nothing changes, right? And suppose you got very old, 85, 90 and all that. Suppose you get that far. If you got there, right? So the young people who have to look after you, they are saying that it will be nice if he leaves. They will think like that inside. They won't say, may not say it to you. But they'll be happy because you are not anymore any use to anybody. And they just see you as a burden for them. You can't blame them also for that, because you have become a burden on them. And they, out of social reasons, society, social reasons, they take, probably give you some help or try to look after you. But at the end of the day, they also can't help you. That's what he's saying. Narubamasiha tadoba labhyade na andar na cha adir na cha sampravishtaha. Right? And why did that happen? Sometimes some people die very early in life and go leave this world. 50, 60, they're born by then. Right? And some people live very long. They don't go. So how do you explain this? Right? So Vedam says that the Ishvara, Antaryami inside, he only knows these things, what's happening. And he is independent. Ishvara is independent. He's not affected, right? So he can decide when one should go and when one should, how long one should live, right? So he may decide, the Antaryami is one, present in everyone, right? Then Antaryami can keep a person for a long period of time here, or he can take him out from here very early. Right? So that very difficult to say. So that Antaryami's decision, what he is making the decision, that's not in our knowledge. Right? And all these things cannot be discussed because it's an unknown thing. Narubamasiha tatova labhyade na andha na chadir na ja sampradishtaha. There is no pradishta for this. How do you explain these things, right? In order to understand this life and come up with a clear answer, it's not possible to understand this life. And it will be like this. You can't say about anything about life is concerned, right? All of us know that by now, having lived in this world, everyone's life is different and it all gone in a different ways. So practically you can look at this and words and see what Krishna says there. So this is the reason, because it is like that, that no science in this world will be perfect because of this. You know all these different sciences, what scientists are finding out, different technology, sciences, different fields, physics, chemistry, biology, zoology, all these kind of things, right? It may look as though it is perfect, but then it will change. One scientist will find out something, after some time somebody else will come and he will find out something different, and then the whole thing changes. It is constantly happening in the field of science, right? So there is a mentioning about in Ramayanam about this, right? Ravana's son, Indrajit, when he was to fight the battle, right? He wanted, Ravana wanted him to win. So therefore, Ravana went up to the extent of positioning all the planets in the right place. He was so powerful, this Ravana. He managed to keep the different planets in the right position, right? But ultimately, when all this happened, Saturn pulled the leg. Saturn got changed its position and Indrajit got defeated, according to the astrology side of it, right? Similarly, you may try your best to keep this body somehow or the other in order by medicines, by exercise, by good habits, and by good diet, and various ways, right? Keeping good association, all that. But ultimately something will come and you're gone. You get sick or you die, right? And that principle holds good even in the science what you have developed here. All science have the same problem, right? And this one thing is the one Shastram doesn't know. Shastram does not know that, right? They will say it is like this, it's like that and all, but they will not be able to give you a total explanation about life in a very clear, precise manner. They cannot give you that. I'm saying about physics, chemistry and all sciences, what we have developed in the modern world, don't have an answer, a clear, precise answer about life in this world, right? So, therefore, you know what Vivekananda said about that? He says, Krishna has no brain, he said, right? He gave us brain and put us into trouble. He doesn't have brain, because his brain is a problem where it's all coming from. Krishna doesn't have brain, you see? We have got brain, that's the problem, right? What that means is that realized souls don't have brain. They don't operate on the platform of the brain, right? Therefore, they are always independent. And like you remember, I mentioned this many times before, that when Vivekananda was when in America, he was speaking. One day he spoke about Karma Yoga, and then next day he spoke about Jnana Yoga. And when he spoke about Karma Yoga, he said Karma Yoga is the best. And next day he said, this thing called karma itself is not real. After saying Karma Yoga was the best, next day when he talked about Jnana Yoga, he said karma itself is not real, right? So one old lady who was attending his lectures came up to him and told him that yesterday you said karma is everything. Today you are saying that you deny everything, what you said yesterday. So Vivekananda's answer was that yesterday was yesterday and today is today. And in the Upanishad you will see a statement like this, Pratibodha Vihidam Matam, it says. Kachena Upanishad says that. Pratibodha Vihidam Matam, it says. That brain, our brain is where that problem is coming from. You see the problem what we have got, right? Our brain comes in and start analyzing things. And if the brain is not satisfied, you are not satisfied. Spiritual life, you cannot operate on that level. If you use your brain and bring it in, then you will fail. You will not be able to go further, right? So instead of understanding the truth, the reality, what is behind that, right? What we are doing is, we are bringing the whole thing into our limitations. Brain is a limitation. And if you bring this world into brain, you are bringing into limitation. Brain is a limitation, you see. Everybody has different levels of brain, isn't it? Nobody has a 100% brain, nobody has. You can say somebody has 30%, somebody has 50%, somebody has 70%. But whatever it is, 100% nobody has, right? So what we are doing is, using our brain, we are bringing all this world, life in this world, into our platform of the brain. And then you are trying to justify it through the brain, through the agency of brain, right? And we are expecting that it has to be like this. And then we are saying that it is from that these principles like hydrogen, oxygen, and similarly molecules, atoms, and all kinds of things, you are trying to use all these things and trying to explain that vastu, that antaryami, Brahman, or that bodham, awareness inside, trying to bring that into this limited brain and using that brain to make it forcefully coming into the limits of brain, right? But brain is limited and brain cannot handle it, this antaryami. Brain cannot handle it, right? Buddhi, when buddhi stops, buddhi completely stops, only at that time, when it comes to that situation, when buddhi is not functioning anymore, antaryami on its own will reveal to us what the truth is. That's the only way of knowing Him. There is no other way. So, in the Kathopanishad, you will mention this. He's saying this to Nachiketas in at one stage. He said that yada panchava tishtande jnanani manasa saha buddhischa na vi cheshta dida tamahu paramam didim. Yada panchava tishtande jnanani manasa saha buddhischa na vi cheshta tamahu paramam didim. It says that when buddhi stops working, similarly, mind, five senses, all stops, not working anymore, and buddhi also stops working, at that time, you will understand what Antaryami is. So that's the only way you can, Kathopanishad is saying that, yeah? So that's what, that same principle Krishna has brought into Bhagavad Gita. Na rupam asyeha tatopalabhyate. He says you won't be able to understand. Na rupam asyeha tatopalabhyate. Na andar, na chadya, na sampratishta. Right? Why is it like that? You told us about this tree which is upside down and everything. And why you give us trouble like this, saying such things, right? So Krishna is saying, Arjuna, that is its svabhavam. Its svabhavam is like that, right? So, he said to Arjuna, do like this, right? Switch off your buddhi first. You switch off your buddhi, right? And that's what he said. Na rupam asyeha tatopalabhyate. You switch off your buddhi first, right? And buddhi, what it does is, when did this start? When will this end? Buddhi will ask the question. You know normally how it is. If you tell the people about creation, they will say, who created first? And then they will say, when was it created? They want to know. And when will it disappear? They will ask all these questions. Is it not? It's normal in this world. That's how other religions all, you can see, they are day in and day out, they are discussing this. Or something. Krishna is saying, don't ask that question. Because it's coming from your brain. That's the problem. But I never seen them saying that answer. They will say, you accept my version because it said like this in my book. So you should accept that. And somebody else will say exactly the opposite thing. So this creation itself, with different people, it will be different. That means constantly you will be arguing each other on this basis. So, Narubhamasya Tadobalabhyade, right? Krishna is saying, you won't be able to find out the beginning, nor you will be able to Nando na chadir naja sampradishta, right? Beginning end you won't be able to. Where did this material existence begin, right? Like children will ask the question, who is the father of this person, right? And who is the mother of this person in this way? Similarly, we within the grip of this time, time is another thing on us, holding a strong grip, like the brain. Right? We are stuck in that. Time as well as the brain, both. Time has no meaning, strictly speaking, is it not? Who created the time? We created the time. Otherwise there was no time. You remember rishis were all keeping a watch like this, looking at it and doing their spiritual practices? No. Sun rises, they wake up. They never gave importance to time. Time is actually Maya, it is. Mayas it is, and it is, you are within that Maya and you are asking when was this created. What does it mean? So, that's the thing. Similarly, brain. Just like brain, you are stuck in that, you are stuck in the time as well, right? So, this question that when did this all begin, no answer for that, right? So, just like children in the nursery class, they play with the toys. It's the same, that's the situation, right? So, all this physics, chemistry and all that, it's only like that. That's all it is, nothing more than that, right? Now, they are saying to us, you know, the scientists have come up with an answer called the Big Bang Theory, isn't it? And they are telling us a Big Bang happened, and exactly they are saying 13.5 billion years ago. 13.5 not 14, not 13, but 13 and a half billion years ago. Now, and we are accepting all these things because science is telling us, right? So, this science is also, in another level, if you look at it, it is a blind belief only. Lot of the things what science is saying is a blind belief, you are accepting that because scientists have told us. Where is the proof for all that thing? No. Krishna is not fooling us like that. Krishna is saying, don't ask that question because you have got a problem of time as well as with the brain. These two things, right? So, you know about these nine planets, what we have? Yeah, Navagraham, they call it, isn't it? Mercury, Venus, Mars, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, then Uranus, Pluto, and all these, nine of them, isn't it? Neptune or Pluto and all these things, right? They're saying to us all these things. Who science is telling us? There's these nine planets, right? And then one scientist came and said, Neptune is missing now. It's gone. You can't find him there now. Yeah. So the astrologers, if you tell them, they will say that Rahu and Ketu, for example, these two planets, right? They are all Kalpanigam. Kalpanigam means that imaginary planets they are, right? So, therefore, what science is doing is, what they are saying at that particular time, they are saying this is it. That's how it is. But it is changing though. Everything is changing. Even in the universe, things are changing. Not that only in this world it's changing. In the whole universe, it is changing. Things are changing. Like I said, one missing now, one planet. Where has it gone? So, in the middle of all this, you are saying that you have found the truth. What truth have you found? Where is the truth? And that is why he is saying, na andam, na chadir, na ja sampratishta. Sampratishta means it has no basis. The so-called truth, what we are talking about, it has no basis, no foundation in that, right? Whatever you are seeing at that particular moment in time, you are saying that that's the truth. That's all it means. It's not absolute, in other words, right? So, whatever people, the science is telling us about this creation, is all only in that level you have to accept it. At this moment in time, what the scientists are seeing through their telescopes and instruments, whatever they are perceiving in this world, they are explaining to us, this is how it is. But that doesn't mean that it is the truth. It's not necessary, right? And similarly, you remember this discussion about this earthly planet, whether it is round or whether it is flat. That discussion went on for a very long period of time, right? And at different times they felt something is, certain things are different, right? So all this is due to Maya. Maya's power, that is, right? And this this Maya's film or the cinema is going on like this. Maya will continuously keep us like this. That is what it is saying here. Narupam asyeha tatopa labhyate. These verses are referring to a lot of things. We have to look that in and understand, right? Yeah. Nando na chadir na sampradishtam. Ashwathamenam suvirudamulam. So sometimes people say, when is this world going to end? You remember that? What was that? In year 2000, computers all have to be set, isn't it?
Y2K,
yeah. So, some people are saying the world is going to end at a particular day, things like that, right? And you, when you hear that, and if it is coming from somebody, big person, then you start taking it seriously and start thinking, he has said like this. You know, so many big people who forecast about the future, right? Many times people have predicted like that, in the past also. But they'll say, that will be the end. That's the end of everything, right? And in order to finish the world, it is not difficult, actually. If I die, then the world doesn't exist for me. The world is over then. So that's not a big thing, you see, finishing the end of the world. I'm worrying about the world, and I'm not worried about myself, but You can see my connection with the world is like that. If I am dead and gone, where is this world for me then? Right? Or even worse than that, if I just go to deep sleep, where is the world? That's how real this world is, right? So this is a Leela in the Chiragasham. They call it Maya's Leela in the Chiragasham. This will keep on going. So sometimes this Ahangaram inside, Jiva Handa, it's called, right? After death, it may go and take birth somewhere else. You don't know where it will go and take a birth, right? And it could be in any other different plane. There's so many planes of existence, is it not? So it need not be in the human species. It need not be in the same planet. It can be anywhere else, right? So it can be in another planet. It can be in another plane of existence, right? Who knows that? So, and there, those people will be talking about a planet called Earth here. And there will be living entities in this world. They may be discussing about us, right? So like Yuktivadi, you know, the people who logic, Yuktivadam, they call it Yuktivadi, right? And for them, what they see is alone is the truth. They are stuck in that. Senses. What senses will tell them. Yeah. So, Yuktivadis are like that. But, the people who have gone ahead than that are the Sankhyam. Sankhya Yoga. Sankhyam. Kavalamashi Sankhyam comes from that, right? What they are saying is, whole thing is prakriti. Everything is prakriti, right? And prakriti will keep on putting in front of Purusha. Purusha means we, the Antaryami inside. In front of us, prakriti will keep on projecting things all the time. And it will not go. That is our life in this world. Continuous projection of this world in front of us, right? And finally, when prakriti disappears, the Purusha will dissolve in him. Purusha will dissolve in him. In other words, that is the Sankhya Siddhantam. Sankhyam is coming from that. It is from Sankhyam Vedavyasa Maharshi has taken a lot into Bhagavad Gita. You know, the second chapter is Sankhyam. Whole thing is Sankhyam. Right, so Vedantam, the first step of Vedantam is Sankhyam. Prakriti, Purusha exist, and Prakriti will keep changing all the time. Purusha is a witness to everything. Purusha is experiencing Prakriti constantly, and at some point in time, when Prakriti disappears, Purusha realizes that Prakriti is not real. Up to this point is Sankhyam, Sankhya Siddhantam, right? So, so Sankhyam, people who are follow the Sankhya philosophy, the philosophers, they call this Buddhaha. Buddhaha means they are our grandparents, Sankhyam, right? So, Sankhyam will say like this, that Prakriti will continuously present in front of Purusha or the Antaryami or Jiva, in front of him, Prakriti will constantly present different pictures. And that is how the world is. That's how the world is. And that thing has neither beginning nor end. Nor end, right? Na adir, na andam, na adir, na ja sampratishtaha. So, if you ask the question, when you are seeing something or experiencing something, is it real? If you ask the question, Krishna says, the answer is, naja sampratishta. It has no meaning. Do you know what I'm saying? Krishna is saying, first of all, it has no beginning, no end. The way we are perceiving this world, right? Which is true here. If you ask the question, there is no answer to that. Because it's continuously changing. When did it begin? We don't know. When will it end? We don't know. This is the prakriti. Prakriti, Krishna is explaining that. Prakriti is like that. And then if you ask the question that, while you are saying it, is that real? Naja sampratishta. It is not real. Naja sampratishta, right? Just like, you looked at the rope and checked whether there is a snake in the rope, right? When you saw that there is no snake, it is a rope, in the same way. If you ask the question, if this creation exists or not, strictly speaking, it does not exist. But the moment you are experiencing, the creation is there. In this way. Prapancho enad vidyade nivartyada na samshaya. If it is real, right, if the world is real, then it is not possible to change it. If it is real, right? Because first of all, it is not real. Again he comes. Is that in the Sushupti, where is the world? If it is real, it should be present in all the three states. But in the Sushupti, deep sleep state, where is the world? That shows that the world is not real. World is not real, right? So, and similarly, in the dream, it's not real. World is not there. It's not something else you are experiencing in the dream. It's not. It's a very finer thing to think about it, right? Compare these three states, Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. In only in Jagrat, this world is real as you are saying it's real. Not even in the dream state. Because in the dream state, your vasana is coming in and creating another world, totally different from this. Sometimes there may be some effect from this world also into the dream. But very often, the world what you are seeing in the awakened state is not the same world in the dream state. Sometimes 50 years ago something happened in your life, it will come in your dream. Some heavy stuff will come. Or some vasanas what you have cultivated from previous lives will come out in the form of dream. All we know that, isn't it? We all know that. What comes in the dream is not the world what you are seeing in the awakened state. So that means, out of the three states, Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, this world, as you call it as real, is only real in the vacant state. Not in the dream state. Deep sleep totally disappears. Whole thing disappears, right? So, and apart from that, this world what we are calling, for example, there is a tree standing there. Say a teak wood tree is standing there, teak wood, right? You're calling it as a teak wood, right? But as far as the tree is concerned, it doesn't know that it is teak wood. Name and all we have given to it. Name and the... And we understand it is teak wood. We, for our convenience, for our work in this world, we accept it. That what the tree is, actually, it's only in existence. Only the existence, right? And similarly with the birds, with the animals, everything in the same way. We have given them different names. This is a cow, this is a goat, this is a sheep, this is rabbit, and this is a pigeon, this is something or some other rabbit or something like that, right? So, because of these names we have given to it, we are stuck in that spelling of those letters, right? As far as that vastu is concerned, whether it's a bird or an animal or anything, ultimately it's only Chaitanyam there. There's only Chaitanyam there. The name and form, you have given the name to it for a particular form. You have given a name. And that is stuck inside us. You are not able to see it anymore as pure Chaitanyam, right? And this is why Krishna is saying to us in the Ekadasi Skandam, that when you are able to see everywhere me presence in, then you are actually seeing it. Same thing, what Krishna is saying here in the Agadisham, the same thing. Visrajas mayamanansvan drishan vridamji dehihim praname dandavad bhumav asho chandala ghokharam, he said. You are now seeing it as go, chandala, gharam and all that. You have to come out of that and see me. And that is proper seeing things. Otherwise, you are not seeing it. You are only seeing the Namirupam, right? So, if you really inquire, what exists here is only Chaitanyam, Bodham, in other words. That's what they are saying, Sarvam Khalidam Brahmam. Right? And in the middle you are saying Namarupam and all, you are saying that. But even though you have seen Namarupam, name and form, the Vastu inside has not changed. It's the same Chaitanyam, what is Antaryami inside, right? Namarupam also is Antaryami in another form, right? So this knowledge that Namarupam is also Atma, even that is not knowledge. Why? Because even that is avidya. Avidya is only when you see Antaryami, Chaitanyam everywhere, right? So that is why even this knowledge, Prahlada says like that. You remember what happened between Prahlada and Hiranyakashipu? Hiranyakashipu came to kill him, right? He pulled out his sword and everything. Prahlada kept saying to Hiranyakashipu, everything is Krishna. This is all Narayana, he said, right? Hiranyakashipu says, how do you see that? I don't see anywhere Narayana, he said. So Prahlada kept pushing. There is only Narayana here, there is nothing else. Prahlada is self-realized person, isn't it? So he is seeing only Narayana in everything. And Prahlada said to Hiranyakashipu that my doubt is this. Hiranyakashipu is saying to Prahlada that I am seeing so many things. I don't see Narayana anywhere, he said. Who? Hiranyakashipu said to Prahlada. Prahlada says to Hiranyakashipu, I only see Narayana, and you are telling me that you are seeing so many things, but I am not seeing that. So what happened was, between Hiranyakashipu and Prahlada, when this incident happened, in Prahlada's study, if you look, what he told him, Prahlada said to Hiranyakashipu, Tum, while talking, glorifying Narasimhamurti, he is saying this, Tum, Vayu, Agni, Avani, Ambu Matram, Pranendriyani Hridayam Chidanugrahascha, 7948 in the Bhagavatam. Tum Vayu Ragni Avanirvidayambu Matram, Pranendriyani Hridayam Chidanugrahascha, Sarvam Tumeva, Gusagunam Vigunascha Bhuman, Nanyal Sodasta Bhimano, Vajasa Niruktam. That one verse is the answer for that. Prahlada is saying that Vayu, Agni, Jaram, Avam, Ambu, Agasham, everything, Tum Vayu Ragni, Avani with Ambu Matram, Pranan, Indriyam, Hridayam, Chidanugrahascha, Sarvam Tomeva, Sagunam Vigunascha Bhuman, Sagunam Vigunam, everything, Nanyal, Todasabhi Mano, Vajasa, Niruktam. He said like that. And then Prahlada said to him that, Prahlada says to Narasimhamurti, he is saying this prayers, right? This is in the Prahlada study, this coming. But problem you saw between Hiranyakashipu and Prahlada. Prahlada is seeing like this creation, this world. And then he said, Naide gunana gunino. Next verse, Mahadadayo ye sarve manaprabhradaya sahadeva martyaha adyandavandam urugaya vidandihitvam evam vimrshya sudhiyo viranandi shabdal. He said, use your intelligence, use your analysis properly. Vimrshya sudhiyo viramandi shabdal. With your intelligence, you should come to this conclusions, he said. So, Narayana Swarupam. What is Narayana? He is saying here, Vayu, Agni, Bhumi, Jalam, Tanmatra, thought waves, Chittavritti, Ahangaram. All this is nothing but that Chaitanyam only, nothing else, right? If you deny all these things, if you refute all these things, what remains? That is you saying to Narasimham. If you deny all these things, you are the one in all these forms, different forms. Ahangaram, similarly the manasa, buddhi, chitavritti, and three modes of nature, then all the five material elements, their tanmatras, everything is you only. But if you take out all these things, what remains? That's exactly you are that. So, what he's saying here. Evam vimarsha sudhiyo. Vimarsha means you have to do vimarshanam. Vimarshanam means proper analysis of that. And then what happens is, intelligent people, spiritually advanced people, they do this vimarshanam and finally they come and sit quiet, silent, after seeing this reality, right? And that's what Nischala Tattva means. You come to that state where you don't get any more affected by the creation. Not affected by the creation. For example, in Prahlada's eyes, this mic is Narayana. Table is Narayana. Books are Narayana. Bottle is Narayana. Watch is Narayana. Everything is Narayana. That state of realization has come to him, right? So, you can call this by any name, mic or something, whatever it is, right? But he has come to this realization that everything is Narayana. And this is, for Prahlada, he is a Siddha. He has perfected it. For us, it is a sadhana. And that sadhana is what Krishna told Uddhava at the end, right? So, Prahlada and Hiranyakashipu, they are standing at the same place. But those two of them are two different realizations, right? Hiranyakashipu is saying, this planet is under my control, this earth is under my control, heavenly planets are under my control, and I am the emperor of all three planetary systems and things like that. So, for him, this creation is something for him to enjoy, in other words, right? And what you have to remember is that only when I am there, that is when the world comes in. If I am not there, the world is not there, right? And like in Sushupti, I am not there, the world is not there, right? Same thing with Samadhi state. So, that means this world is not there as the world in my Sushupti state, right? When in vacant state, when Ahangaram comes up, Abhimanam, Ahangaram wakes up, right? If that Ahangaram didn't wake up in the vacant state, then you won't be affected by the world. That's what happens, you see. When we wake up, when Ahangaram wakes up, then the world comes. If you manage to get Ahangaram not to wake up in the vacant state, then the creation doesn't exist anymore. Yeah. That time you are situated in the platform of the soul, realized state, right? So even if you see this creation still through your senses in the realized state, because you are inside, you are so convinced that this is Atma inside, right? So that firm conviction will be there in him. And all these things, at this point in time, we won't understand it. Because it is difficult for us to relate with it, right? It's not necessary to fully understand it. Because immediately our mind and brain starts working and trying to get hold of it, what is being spoken, right? But this Upanishad's knowledge, and as well as this Vedantam, what is spoken in the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita, it is, the nature is like that. It is Vedam. Vedam is like that, right? Whether we have understood it or not understood it, doesn't matter, right? Idam sarvam atma. So, because we will not see it like that, when we are not aware of this, what Prahlada has spoken, yeah? We don't have that realization, what Prahlada has spoken. Sarvam Kalidam Brahmam. Because of that, we are seeing that one is male, one is female, all these kind of things, right? So, actually both male and female is Atma. Atma, you are calling it as male, and Atma, you are calling it as female. Strictly speaking, there is no male or female in Atma. Atma doesn't have male or female. Male and female is based on the body and all the other things, right? So, so that's why in that Upanishad, what they are saying is that when they are talking about Atma, when they talk about Atma, how Upanishad puts it, in the Shvetashvatara Upanishad, it mentions like this, that the it's a beautiful statement, how a realized soul sees it. Yeah, it says that tvam stri tvam pumanasi tvam kumara utava kumari Tvam jirno dandena vamchasi, tvam jado bhavasi vishodho mukham. Shvetashvatara Upanishad says about Atma. Tvam stri, in the form of woman you are moving around in this world. Tvam puman, as a man you are moving around in this world. When you see a kumara, a young boy, that's you. And similarly kumari. And similarly, tvam jirnam dandena vamshasi. When you are an older person with a walking stick, you are moving around in this world. But Atma is the same. Atma is the same. So, Upanishad says, you are that man, you are that woman, you are that boy, you are that girl. And in this way, grandmother, grandfather, everything, that's all you, right? But unfortunately, we can't see it like that now. At this stage, right? If you have seen that like that, the way it is said, then material existence is over. Only then you can say you have become free from the material existence. Samsaram has gone, right? So, it is because of that, Upanishad is saying this, Matru Devo Bhava, Pitru Devo Bhava, Acharya Devo Bhava, Ajiti Devo Bhava. When it says like that, mother is not mother anymore. Similarly, they all come to the Deva Sai. They become Deva. Matra Devo Bhava. Adhiri Devo Bhava. Acharya Devo Bhava. Pita Devo Maha. Pitra Devo Bhava. So, they all become Deva then. They are not anymore based on the body anymore. Right? So, this Deva, what we are talking about, is not for Vyavaharam. It's not for Vyavaharam. Right? So, because he is in the realized state, he does not have samsaram, material existence. And because you know samsaram, there is no vyavaharam either. Vyavaharam is always in the samsaram only. Realized person cannot do vyavaharam. He cannot do vyavaharam. And when you are inside samsaram, vyavaharam will be there till the end. Okay. So, when you see in your vision, an object in this world useful for your happiness in some form, bhogya padartham, that is when samsaram begins, right? Whereas, if that becomes paramatma swarupam, then there is no enjoyer, there is no enjoyed, and there is not the process of enjoying anything. When you have become free from that vision, you see, what we are changing is our vision. Vision has to change. That's what Krishna is asking to Uddhava also. Change your vision about this world. Don't look at this through the senses and say, this is the world. That's a very, very, very crude way of saying things. But, he says, if you inquire about that, bhokta, bhogyam and prerita, that means enjoyer, the enjoyed, as well as this process of enjoying, everything goes away once this realization comes as Atma. And similarly, if you go deeper into that, then you will know that this world, which is what we call the samsaram or material existence, our distress or material existence, and similarly this world, all these things has no connection with our swarupam, our spiritual identity. It has nothing to do with any of these things. We got so trapped in the world, this tree, samsaram tree, what Krishna is talking about, we are so caught up in that, we are not able to think even differently. But Krishna is saying to us, this world is not real. In your real identity, spiritual identity, world doesn't exist. In our spiritual identity, world doesn't exist. Similarly, this samsara material existence, what we call now, suffering, happiness, distress, all these things, doesn't exist. Samsaram doesn't exist. This tree also doesn't exist, right? So, and what we want is that state called Shanti, right? And many times, many distress comes in life, problems comes in life, you have to think in that direction. that who is going through this suffering, who is going to experience this, right? So, if you analyze these experiences in life, right, then you won't say anymore that what is happening is Maya. What it is that you have to experience it as Maya. Just saying that it's all Maya and ignoring it is no good. That's not good enough. What we have to know that you are inside this Maya. That awareness has to come, right? So the problem what we have is, we are in the middle of this Maya, right? And we are talking about Atma. And when we talk about Atma, nothing is affecting us, right? It's so complex this Atma is, that we keep wondering, what is this Atma? Yeah. So, and the only way you can come out of this is, when you talk about Atma, it is not having any impact on us. When we talk about this Maya, we see the suffering, all that is coming from that Maya. So then the question to analyze this Atma and us is, the only way you can get to some understanding about this, you have to ask the question, who is having it? Who is experiencing that, right? So if our Shraddha, our attention, is keep on going towards the person who is going to experience this, right? And then you get the answer that the person who is experiencing this distress is inside. And who gets the distress? I get the distress. When I get the distress, others don't feel the distress. I feel the distress, right? And if some distress comes to someone else, it doesn't affect me, right? So sometimes I observe others also, and I see there are people who are getting a lot more distress than what I get in my life, like in the war and all that. Children, women, all get completely, you know, no place to live, no proper food to eat, no clothes to wear, and bombs are coming from the top. And you start thinking, what is this existence then? What does it all mean? Is it not? So, so dukkham or distress is a different ways. We suffer in one way, they suffer in a much different way. Those who are in the war-torn areas, or where there is a drought, earthquake, cyclones, and things like that, battlefield, things like that, isn't it? But suffering is there. Everybody is suffering. Even if wealthy people, they are also suffering in this world in different ways. They've got their misery, right? So when suffering comes, we ask the question, why did I get it? Nobody else got it. I got it in this way, right? So, but if you keep looking at others, you can see everybody in this world is going through some distress or the other in different levels, right? So, but what your problems, it is not bothering me so much, and my problems are not bothering you so much. It is like that, right? So, and then finally we say, what should not have happened to me in this way? So, when it happens to yourself, distress comes, it goes and touches inside, straight into the heart, right? And that location where you are experiencing that, that is that state called aham, awareness, bodham, isn't it? That's where it happens, that where the suffering happens, right? And what is it, Swarupam? Swarupam means, you know, in the Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma, when he created us, it mentions there is a thing called Asmita. Asmita means, if you inquire about that, what is my Swarupam? This awareness inside us, Bodham, as me, me, right? And that is what Krishna is saying here, Naja Sampratishta. That it has no basis, right? You can't find that person. If you look into yourself, I'm saying I'm suffering. Then I'm asking the question, where is me then? I can't find him. I'm suffering, but I can't find him. Every one of us, it's the same thing, right? So, and that is unbelievable, that it is such a funny thing, what is going on, right? And but at the same time, you are experiencing suffering. But if you ask the question, who is suffering, you don't know the answer for that, right? And then we will use our intelligence and start analyzing it to the extent what is possible. So only when the suffering comes and touches me inside, when I feel it, when it touches me inside, right, then it affects me, and that means that ahankaram inside, aham, aham, that ahankaram. When it touches the ahankaram, that's when you get affected by that. If it has not touched your ahankaram, then nothing will affect you, right? So, this ahankaram is the center of all our suffering. All our suffering is center is ahankaram. Suffering includes enjoying also. Not suffering is spoken because that's one which affects strongly, isn't it? That is why Krishna said to Uddhava that famous words, isn't it? Harsha, shoka, bhaya, krodha, lobha, moha, spriha, adaya, ahankarasya drishyanje, naja mrityur, na janma mrityur, naja mrityur cha atmana. Atma has nothing to do with it. So this understanding has to be very deep inside to understand this chapter. That everything, this is how Krishna begins about jiva. Jiva is this ahankaram. Ahankaram is jiva, right? So just like somebody comes and praises me, glorifies me a lot, I feel happiness inside. And similarly, if somebody comes and abuses me a lot, I'll feel distress inside, right? But if somebody else is abused or praised, it is not affecting me. But if I am affected, if I am praised or insulted, it gets affects me. But somebody else is praised or glorified or insulted, it doesn't bother me, right? Similarly, if within my family if something happens, I get affected. If somebody else's family something happens, it's not affecting me so much, right? So, and Shastram, you know how Shastram says that? It's interesting, these things. Shastram says that if somebody else gets suffering, problems comes in somebody else's life, right? And if it has affected you, then it is anandam, says Shastram. I don't know whether you get that or not. If somebody got suffering a lot in life, right? And it has affected me, then what I get is anandam, not distress. Right? And Patanjali Maharshi says this in Yoga Sutra. You see, rishis are so fine in their knowledge of the mind, the way it works, right? He says that others' distress, if it is having impact on you, and if that is having, if it is distress they are experiencing, but it comes and that distress, if you are getting it, it is anandam, right? In other words, what it means is that this sarvatma bhavam, remember what Krishna said, that sarvatma bhavam, presence of Antaryami's presence in everyone, that knowledge has started working in you. It's a proof of that. Suppose somebody suffering is affecting you, means that sarvatma bhavam is growing inside. That's the anandam behind it. Did you get the point?
Yeah.
Yeah? You see, normally in this world, so many people are suffering. It's not bothering me. If when I am suffering, it affects me. Somebody else is suffering, I'll say, what can you do? That's his problem, what can I say? That's his prarabdham, I'll say and write it off like that. But if others' problem is having an impact on me inside, then Patanjali says, sarvatma bhavam is building up inside, that you are realizing the impact of Antaryami's presence in everyone. That's why it's affecting you in that way, right? So after seeing others suffering, if you are getting dragged into it, and you are getting affected by that, actually you are not suffering from that. What happens is Sarvatma Bhavam is coming to you. But while saying this, you have to bear in mind that it is not in the mundane level it is spoken. Do you know what I'm saying? That when you see others suffering, right? Basically, if it is affecting you, that distress, it means that the Hridaya Granthi has gone. Hridaya Granthi has gone. That means Ahangaram is not there. That is why you are experiencing that suffering. Some people ask like this, that if you are a jnani and if you are going to get affected by the distress of everybody else, that means are they not in the same material existence then? Right? So, say for example, if you are feeling the suffering of so many other people, then what is the point then? Jnani is supposed to be free from distress. But if you are experiencing the distress of all others as well in this world, then what is the benefit from that? How do you call him a jnani then? Answer Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. If you look into the 6th chapter, Krishna answers that question. Bhagavad Gita is like this, that you will have to look at different places to understand Krishna's subtle, he says, 632. Alpaubam yena sarvatra samam pashyati Arjuna sukham va yadiva dukham sa yogi paramo mata. Alpaubam yena sarvatra samam pashyati yo Arjuna sukham va yadiva dukham sa yogi paramo mata. Dhyana Yoga chapter 6, right? So, Krishna said that, right? If others are getting distress, and if you are able to experience it inside and suffer from that as others are experiencing it, that suffering, right? Then, Atma Vamena Sarvatra, you are experiencing the Sarvatma Bhava, presence of the Atma in others. That's what exactly you are experiencing at that time. Others suffering, if you are experiencing inside, not through asakti, not through attachment, or because he is my son, therefore I am suffering, not in that way. In the wide world, when others are suffering, if that suffering is causing an effect inside you, affected by that suffering, then you can say that, Atma Vamena Sarvatra, Samam Pashyati, that's what he is saying there, right? So, you remember the story of Vatmiki, famous story, right? Vatmiki shot the arrow to the bird, and it was, you know, after arrow was shot, which also the pain, it was shaking, and suffered that. And from that pain, Ramayanam comes, right? So, and that is Anandam. In other words, they say there is deep ecstasy in pain. So, remember, Vivekananda said this, right? What happened was, in the before independence, there was a big plague epidemic in Calcutta. Loads of people died, right? And and our Vivekananda was there. He went to Kashmir. He was at that in Kashmir, right? And he was feeling the pain of those people who were dying in Calcutta with the plague. Families were dying one after the other, disappearing, right? So some devotees asked Vivekananda at that time, why are you feeling the pain when they are dying there? Why you have to feel the pain? Give up all this religion and everything, right? And so, give up all these things and do something about it. So, that's when he said that there is deep ecstasy in pain, what he was experiencing, right? So, what happens is, in Sarvatma Bhavam, this Sarvatma Bhavam is a word, what you cannot forget, because it's there in the Bhagavad many places, right? When you are experiencing the distress of others, yourself, right? And then it is you are situated in the platform of the self. Remember? Not based on material bodily attachment. For example, in family life, Somebody is suffering, you also feel that why is he suffering like this. That is completely based on the body. But what Krishna is talking about is, in this world, when you are experiencing the pain of others, not purely based on the bodily level, when you experience the pain of others, right? At that time, you have to understand that that's coming from Sarvatma Bhavam. Sarvatma Bhavam, right? So, many realized souls are able to perform service in this world with this realization only, because they feel the suffering of others. Suffering of others. So many examples for that, right? Mahatmas, great personalities, when they take so much risk in life and they go all the way out to do something for others because they are experiencing that Sarvatma Bhavam inside. That is why they do it. No, for any other reason. That Sarvatma Bhavam inside. Because Antaryami is one in person in everybody. And they can experience the suffering of others within themselves. And therefore they try to do something in their own way. Right? So, Narayana Guru, he was a devotee of Subramanian. And he was a serious inquiry. He had a meeting with Ramana Maharshi and they had a conversation and all that. At his time, we are talking about 100 years probably back. At that time what happened was that he went to Coimbatore. If you go to city Coimbatore, that's not far from there, there's Maruthumala. That's where he performed all his penances. He spent a lot of time there, right? And then he became a devotee of Subramanian and he worshipped Lord Shiva in the Shivalingam form, right? And then he came into Vedantam finally and went and stayed in that Maruthumala for all his life. He wanted to spend there, right? And then he says the reason why he came down from there back to the people again, he was in a very realized state. He says that darkness is gone, sun has risen, and inside me I'm feeling the pain of others. He said, right? So, that happens, that is Krishna's arrangement. Antaryami from inside prompts them from inside to do something about it, right? And that is why Ishwara's Anugraha Shakti, the power of blessings, it comes there. They make the jnanis or realized souls to do some things in this world. That is how they do things, right? Not for their individual benefit. And that is, normally, when the pain happens, it touches our ahankaram, isn't it? As far as the jiva is concerned, right? So, jiva is concerned, that's where the pain you feel, right? As far as jiva is concerned, the avidya in him is paricheda. Paricheda means it is not for permanent in him. It is there for some time. This avidya in a person, right? therefore, it is called paricheda. Paricheda means break happens in the avidya. So, but when you go to sushupti, what happens? There is no avidya. Avidya is there, but these interruptions, what happens in the vacant state, is not happening in the sushupti for avidya. You see that? Avidya in sushupti does not get broken up like the way avidya gets broken up in the vacant state. In the vacant state, your avidya changes all the time. Sometimes deeper avidya, sometimes less. But in sushupti, avidya is steady. Avidya is very steady, right? So, and you had a good sleep and you woke up. And then when the moment ahankaram comes, parichinnatvam comes. Parichinnatvam means this breaking up. So when ahankaram comes, avidya also gets start breaking up. Whereas in sushupti, avidya remains steady. So that is why, you see, as soon as you wake up, what happens? I am comes first. Then he comes. You comes, and then he comes or she comes, whoever it is, right? So, and then what you do is, you start thinking about your life in this world, right? What will happen to my future? What's going to happen to my life? And then all the other problems of this world, all these things comes one after the other. So all these things are dependent on that ahankaram. When ahankaram wakes up in the morning, that's where it begins. Then the mind comes. And then he comes, she comes, they come, everybody comes. Family comes, friends come, society comes, everything comes. And when they all come together, then all the problems also come along with that. And then you become completely trapped in that. So if you look at all these things, where is all this problem? It's all in me, that aham, ahankaram. It is all, the problems are in ahankaram, right? That means ahankaram is the pivot or center on around which all these things are, life is centered around that. All our emotions are centered around that. Our thoughts are all centered around that. Society is centered around that. Family is centered around that. All relationships are centered around that, right? So that ahankaram, which is a part of the subtle body, sushma shariram, isn't it? Ahankaram, it is called sometimes as ahankaram, sometimes as sushma shariram, sometimes we call it as andhakaranam, the subtle body, right? It is to all these things together, holding it together is ahankaram. Subtle body has got mind, intelligence, chittam, vasana, all these things, isn't it? It's all inside the subtle body. The one that keeps them all together, holding it together, is ahankaram, right? And that is who is saying, I am, I am, I am, that feeling, right? And once you inquire about them, ahankaram, who that is, right? He's not there. What actually exists is only Atma. Because of vasanas and karmam, everything, this Antaryami inside has its role in functioning the subtle body, and with the help of this bodily identification, everything, ahankaram was born in that way, right? So purnam surupam atma alone, right? And then when you inquire about it further, you can't find the ahankaram, you can't find the mind either, right? And that is what this verse is saying. Nacha sampratishta, that one word is explaining all these things. Nacha sampratishta, it has no pratishta, it has no basis, in other words. It has no basis, right? So, whereas our whole life in this world is a life of ahankaram. Ahankaram is running this life in this world. Samsaram, all the distress, all these things have to do with ahankaram. Nothing to do with Atma. It is all to do with the ahankaram. Think about this, right? So, Atma does not know ahankaram. But it's all happening in, and we, the identification with the body, mind, senses, all due to the ahankaram. Due to that, we cannot know the Atma. It is forbidden, right? So, that is why he says there that Atma is not affected by samsaram, Krishna is saying. It is this ahankaram and the tree that you have to cut through. You have to cut through. Just like they say, the sun doesn't know what darkness is. Similarly, Antaryami does not know what avidya is. Antaryami doesn't know what this samsaram is. Antaryami does not know what distress is. Antaryami is satyachita anandam brahmam it is. So, then for whom is this samsaram? That question comes, right? You are saying that all these things are not real. You don't have it. Then who has got it then? Right? It is for the person who is asking this question. He has got it. Atma is not asking. The ahankaram is asking also. Who has got the samsaram? Material existence, right? Who has got the distress? Angaram has got the distress, right? So, and you keep asking, who is this? You can't find him also there. And so, if you keep asking him, it is like this, that just like the waves come in the ocean, and then finally go further deep into the ocean, you find there is no waves there. It's all on the surface only, right? Similarly, if you inquire about this ahangaram, what you find is that ultimately when you go deeper into inside is, there is no ahangaram. What actually exists is antaryami, Sachidananda Brahman, antaryami inside. And then from them comes this ahangaram, and just like the waves comes in the ocean, similarly ahangaram comes. Many times it comes up and goes away. Ahangaram comes and goes, right? And ultimately there is only water in the ocean. In the same way, when ahangaram comes and disappears, all the time, when you wake up in the morning, ahangaram comes. Throughout the day, ahangaram is operating. And in the night, when you go to deep sleep, ahangaram goes away. In the same way, even though we are in this namarupam, name and form, and whether you are still the Chaitanyam, and whether there is no namarupam, Chaitanyam remains as Chaitanyam. And therefore, whether it is in the sagunam or in the nirgunam form, when it is in the sagunam also it is Chaitanyam. When it is in the nirgunam form also it is Chaitanyam. Or when the three modes of material nature is there, satugunam, rajagunam, tamagunam, it is still Chaitanyam. When creation, maintenance, destruction happens, it is still Chaitanyam. Chaitanyam is always Chaitanyam, right? And if we can come to that level, to remain as Chaitanyam rather than Ahangaram, and that reaching that state, Krishna is saying, is the next two lines. Ashwathamenam suvirudha moolam asanga shastrena gradena chitva. I know this word chapter is not easy. Every word is, Krishna is expecting a lot from us, right? But Vedantam is like that. It is not you understand or you're through your sadhana, it happens. It comes through Shravanam. If it happens, it happens. That depends on the antaryami inside, accepting it, right? So, and that is why he said that Ashwattham, he called it this samsaram, right? Suvirudha moolam, it says. That means right under the root it has to be cut. And samsaram exists on this ahangaram, abhimanam, right? How will you cut that? Asanga shastrena dradena chitva. Asangam means this knowledge, jnanam, right? And suruva jnanam is called asangam, knowledge of the self, right? And then what he said, vairagya means, vairagya means, in the beginning, if you say, tell the people, the world is temporary, right? Then you feel an emotion inside at that time, that when the world is temporary, right? That is vairagyam. That's what makes you think that this world is temporary. If you are feeling that thought inside, right? In the Upanishad, we'll say, asangoyam, 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 puna puna, sachidananda rupoyam, aham eva, aham avyayam, right? So, that asangoyam purusha, that is the vairagyam hedu or cause, right? When you realize that self, atma, antaryami, inside, then no sangam anywhere, no connections anywhere, that asangam, and that is its natural state of the antaryami. It does not feel any connection anywhere. Connection anywhere. That is its surubam. And once he realized that, that person is a jnani. And for him, this vairagyam is not a special requirement when he realizes that, right? So Krishna is saying, ashwathamenam suvirudha moolam asanga shastrena dradena chitva. Through knowledge, if you break through this avidya, then there is no necessity for a vairagyam you have to cultivate. Once that knowledge has come, vairagyam will come along with it, straight away. It will come to us, right? So, So that is why he mentions that, right? So jnanam, that knowledge, self-realization, is like the sword with which you have to cut that tree. And that is knowledge of the self. Shandilya Maharshi says that in the Narada Bhakti Sutram, he says, Atma Rati Avirodhena Rati Shandilyaha. Shandilya Maharshi says, Narada Maharshi quotes this in Narada Bhakti Sutram about that. That means you have to cut that tree. You do all your work what you have to do in this world, but be careful. What is that? It does not affect your realization in that way. So whether we are chanting the holy name or doing the deity worship or any other spiritual activity, whatever you have to do, you may have to do it, but this awareness should be there that Antaryami is not touched. You know what Krishna is saying? Krishna is saying to us, understand Antaryami properly. And with this awareness you do the sadhana, knowing what Antaryami is. Not you do just like a karmam, you do it, it's no good. But with this awareness of Antaryami, it is so important, then your sadhana will become beneficial, useful, right? So that is what he said also, that the whatever work you have to do, do it in this world. Krishna said to Arjuna also, you have to do fight the battle, do that. Yeah, but he called yogastha kuru karmani, situated in the platform of yoga, right? What does yogastha mean? Atmareddhi avirodhena. Atmareddhi avirodhena. Without forgetting who you are, you fight the battle, right? So what do we have to do for that? Sometimes this chapter, one has to sit alone, verse by verse, word by word, you have to take it and keep analyzing it within yourself and get all these things inside us, what Krishna has spoken, right? That's what we call it as mananam, nididhyasanam and all that, right? That means Antaryami is real, nothing else is real here, right? And till we get that conviction inside, it's no point in theoretically saying these things but not experiencing it inside. In order to get that experience, you have to analyze it like the way Krishna has spoken here, these verses. So from each verse, you keep on analyzing it and get yourself fixed in that awareness that I am that Antaryami inside, not that jiva, what Krishna is talking about, right? So that is where we will stop today. We'll continue tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Dinadaya Prabhu ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.